The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Brett Kirsch.
Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is... The show is...
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the salt in the soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
My name is...
Andy Hart.
My name is...
Paul Perillo.
My name is... The show is...
PFW in Progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and things could not be better for the New England Patriots. We are going to the AFC Championship game here at Gillette Stadium against the Colts Sunday evening. It's going to be a great one. Things are just in place for the Patriots to just continue their dominance in the NFL. It's just unbelievable. And
all it took to get Fred back was a big win. Well, now he's going to start doing the Chester thing.
Is that a new vest or a different vest?
What do you mean?
I mean, is that the same vest?
As when?
The one that you had last week?
Didn't yeah, same
one?
Same vest.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about vests? No.
It's okay for him to ask about the sweaters.
Unbelievable. I do it at the right time, not at the beginning of the show. Unbelievable win. Tough game.
Great game.
Everything everybody said about the Ravens, you know, the positive stuff was true. Flacco, the toughness, no fear. It was all true.
And most of what we said about the Patriots was not true.
Well, you know.
You hit Brady and he'll just cave in. You can stop the run now. You can stop the pass now. Your defense is an equal shareholder. None of that was true.
The only thing,
Brady put the team on his damn back, took every hit that they could give him, and won the damn game.
Well, see, that's the irony of this game, is that I went in thinking my confidence comes from the defense.
I was with you.
And it was back to the past where the confidence
Brady
came from
plays
Tom
out of
Brady.
His mind, you can win.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it took to win was Tom Brady. And it was funny. It was back to the future.
Disregard everything we said last week about the Patriots.
You know, the defense, I mean, yeah.
Oh, except the offensive line stinking.
Well, the defense, you know, ended up making a stop and, you know, forcing the Ravens into a critical field goal at the end. But for the most part, Flacco, you know, what, 4 touchdown passes and, they weren't doing well against the run. It came down to the Patriots offense like it has in the past.
And postseason Brady was good.
Yeah, he was really good.
I mean, I literally think that may have been his best performance since... You know, against a good defense, none of these Jaguars performances where you go 26 of 28 because they're not good. I mean, that was Carolina, the Super Bowl. Just he made plays, he took hits, he fought officials, he spiked balls after touchdowns. Yeah. It was
to worry there for a second that he was getting the Brady face again, though, when he had his hand.
Oh, when he threw that interception,
the Ravens scored at the end of the half.
And that was a terrible throw. You know, but
yeah, it was.
He made up for it. And
he
even
did.
You mentioned that Carolina game. People forget he threw an interception in the end zone in that game. You know,
but in these big games, sometimes it doesn't go perfect.
When it's all up to you, you know, it's hard to make every play. You know, but yeah, it was Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady's day, with help from friends, obviously. You know, but
it looked
they
like
wouldn't have won had not Tom Brady played the way he played.
Correct.
It looked like the defense was playing some zone in the first half that I was a little surprised by.
Yeah.
I was not surprised. I thought they would do that and mix things up. You know, everybody got caught up in the matchups and what Torrey Smith said and what the Patriots. You know, I kind of expected them to mix things up and do some zone and do some different things. Now, I didn't expect Darrell Revis to give up slants for touchdowns. Yeah. I didn't necessarily – well, I did kind of expect Torrey Smith to run by
Brandon
Browner.
Well, that was the reason. I don't think they had a matchup that they liked for Browner,
right.
And that was proven. He struggled, and I thought that's why that they did more zone than they – because they didn't really feel real comfortable, I don't think, with Browner on either Smith.
Yeah. And, you know, Andy, the thing that you said before the game – was certainly true. We talked about Brady, but when the team was kind of struggling offensively in the first half, had it not been for Gronk opening things up a little bit, I don't know if they would have been able to keep in that game. Gronk was huge. You know, he had the touchdown, but more importantly, early on, when they needed those first downs, you know, he was the guy that Brady turned to and was a difference maker.
Yeah, those two, the third down catch, yeah. And then the 46-yarder that set up the short touchdown, I think that injected some life. You know, as Paul said, if you punt there, you're down 14.
I think the game was over.
You might be done. You might be talking about another one of these upsets.
Yeah, there was a lot of game left. It was still the first quarter, but it's 3rd and 8. It's 14-0. The Ravens have just marched right down the field effortlessly twice, and there would have been no time to do anything different on the sideline defensively. And it's 3rd and 8, and Gronk took advantage. There was a big-time breakdown in coverage. Coming across the middle in the 3rd and 8 play, Brady gets it to him for 16 yards. The next play is the one that Andy just talked about, deep seam route that we've seen those two hook up on so many times, 46 yards. A couple plays later, it was 14-7, and you sort of exhale. You know, it's like Aaron Rodgers, relax.
Right.
Okay, it's 14-7 now, game on.
Yeah.
Had they punted on that 3rd and 8 from their own 24-yard line, I think you're looking at getting into the second quarter with the possibility being 3 scores down.
And I can only you speak of exhaling. I can only imagine the noises that would have been coming from Fred, because there were a lot of noises throughout the game coming from you. Anyway.
Was there?
Oh yeah.
Oh God, you were very.
You know when Chris Jones broke his arm, but didn't.
Yeah.
Well, the way he got up and immediately like, hell, I thought he broke his arm. I really did.
I thought Brady was dead. The way you reacted, then you go, Chris Jones broke his arm. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well. There were a lot of ups and downs. It was a great game.
It was
just overall. Just,
oh, yeah. It was an old-school Colts game, kind of like that 06 championship game.
Yeah.
One of those, just classic. You watch it back and forth, heavyweight fight, punches. Both teams played well. Both teams made
trick
mistakes.
Plays.
Both teams.
Trick formations.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Both teams sulked at times. Brady was bitching at the
comebacks.
Officials. Harbaugh was bitching at the officials. Everybody's
it
upset.
It was entertaining.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It was a great game, and of course, you know, the classless Ravens had to complain at the end of the game about cheating, you know, but of course, you know, because they were deceived, they felt they were cheated. But hey.
Well, they didn't actually say that.
No, they didn't mention the word cheating.
Harbaugh's
they said
complaint
that
was about
deceptive.
The time.
Right. And they made no comment when asked if it was cheap or cheating.
Right.
A play action pass is deceptive.
Exactly. What Edelman did was deceptive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't think they had a problem with Edelman's play.
No, but it's deceptive.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Being deceived doesn't mean you were doing anything that was untoward.
As Andy just explained, better just keep your bitching to the officials on the field, then you're okay.
That's right, instead of the press.
Right.
And then I heard that
I did lose a lot of respect for John Harbaugh.
I hated that.
Yeah.
I hated the
if you asked him today,
he'd
have lost a lot of respect for himself and regret what he said.
I usually reserve. Nah, never mind.
And I guess after the game, Steve Smith wanted to fight Jermaine Wiggins in the tunnel.
Didn't see it, but heard about it.
So,
as first reported on the Xbox One postgame show.
It's always something with them. It's always something with them.
Well, I mean, let's not compare Steve Smith and John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh is a credible, respected, well-thought-of head coach who you could say it's out of character that he came up classless or sour grapes or baby. Steve Smith doing something stupid and emotional is Steve Smith
wanting
being
to
Steve
fight
Smith.
Somebody. Yeah.
I mean, he's a bully. He's a punk. He's a thug. Whatever you want to call him that's bad, he is. Okay. The only thing you can't call him is a bad football player.
All right. Give me each of you one good thing from the game for the Patriots.
Tom Brady.
That's a good one. All right.
The resilience. The fact they were able to bounce back from
Mental toughness.
Yeah, mental toughness.
That's what Bill loves about that.
Paul, you can't think of one?
Danny Amendola.
Danny Amendola is an excellent one.
After this play that's on NFL Network right now when he fumbled and took his sleeves off.
Now give me a bad thing.
Pretty much everything else.
Offensive line.
offensive line.
Yeah, the running game.
I'm with you, Fred, on this
along
one,
those lines.
I think.
But
I thought we were at a different level defensively, yeah. And they didn't play a good game defensively.
I'm gonna say defensive line. I think the way they were pushed around.
I think everything defensively.
Yeah, interior defensive line just did not show up.
You know what play really got under my skin? They went for the 4th and 6. They threw the bomb. You know, Torrey Smith ran right by Browner, pass interference, but he caught it anyway on the one. And then they get this enormous break because the officials were completely brain dead throughout the game. That was, you know, a bad thing, but that's always a bad thing for me, so I won't even talk about it. You get Torrey Smith gets a penalty for spinning the ball.
Right.
And it goes back to the 16-yard line. And the Patriots' reaction to that was to allow the single easiest 16-yard touchdown pass I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
I just could not believe that play. Jamie Collins looked like he tried to chuck somebody coming across the middle.
It was Kamar
Justin Forsett went to the flat, and he waltzed into the end zone.
Well,
it was unbelievable.
It seemed like that play, that fullback pass, was working a lot. And every time, he was wide open. I mean, there was absolute breakdowns by the Patriots' defense, you know, on those types of plays.
We talked about it, actually, when the play happened. Andy actually said, Collins, or something like that, because Collins was trying to do too much on that play. His responsibility was probably the flat and Forsett, and he sees Aiken coming across the middle and tries to help out. I think Revis was – somebody was on it.
Not on his own, though. I'm sure he's been coached. You know, if you can get a hand on a guy, reroute him.
Right. But this time he, like, had to lunge forward and basically did so – he almost fell on his face trying to chip Kamar Aiken, and he completely got himself out of position. And
it's one of those plays, Fred – now, I may be making too much of this. I don't think the Seahawks do that. I think the Seahawk guy says, ooh, he's going to throw to my man. I'm going to blow my man up. I don't think – you know, one of those things where we say maybe they think too much rather than just flying around and playing.
Right.
You know, he's thinking, well, there's a guy crossing my face. I got to bang him and then get to the fullback and do that, where I think a Seahawk might have just run full speed at the fullback trying to blow him up. I may be making way too much of that, but it's one of those cases where I think versatility, the more you can do, we all do more, kind of caught them with their pants down.
All right. Overall, though, just a great game. The resiliency, I think, you know, we'll get to the emails, and we have a ton of them. The calls are obviously stacked up here. But a lot of people are mentioning, and Eric did, the mental toughness. This will bode well going forward, I think. You know, because a lot of people say, getting that division game, and it's always a pushover. And then they get hit in the mouth in the AFC Championship. They got hit in the mouth this game.
And plus
they reacted well.
And they won't get hit in the mouth in the AFC Championship.
Get to that later.
The fact that
the bye comes
to
the AFC Championship game instead of the
division
round.
Guys.
They will get hit in the mouth in the Super Bowl
but I think
Seattle.
That if it were a different opponent in the divisional round, maybe they wouldn't have played so badly. But I think it was a team that has had their number in the last 10 years or so, or even less than that. And the fact that they were able to overcome that is, I think, indicative of what this team has been like all year.
Yeah, and like I said at the beginning, everything we said about the Ravens in a positive way was true. They did have the Patriots' number. They knew how to play the Patriots.
And had
they
no
gave
fear.
Them everything, you know.
Is it more than that with the Ravens? I mean, I feel it, because we had a big talk, Andy Beadle and I, in the
big
pregame.
Talk.
I felt like there was a gross underestimation of the Ravens' talent level because of the 1-6 record against the winning teams and all that.
But why doesn't the talent level show up more during the season?
Well, is there really a huge difference between 10-6 and 12-4? Is there really a huge difference between that?
Well, the teams that they play.
I mean, is it a huge difference when one team makes the playoffs 7 out of 8 years and another team makes it 6 years in a row? Like,
you know, I guess not. I guess not.
Like,
you know.
To me, the Ravens are on par with the Patriots in terms of talent.
But they seem to have trouble with lesser teams. They play down to their opponent.
I think it's very simple. Joe Flacco was not a consistent quarterback. If he were consistent like Tom Brady, they would probably go 13-3, 12-4 every year. Instead, he has a couple of clunkers, and they lose a couple of games that Brady doesn't. That's the only difference in the two teams.
You think that's the thing? It could be. Yeah.
It's a little simplistic, but I think they're very well coached, and I think they have good players. I think people think they stink. I heard more 41-10 predictions for that game than I can ever – well, I'll rephrase that because I will hear more 41-10 predictions this week than I did last week. I have to be honest about that. You'll get more of those
should.
This week. And I'm going to be making one of them.
I don't think it'll be
Although I'm not sure I'm giving them 10. So
you don't think they'll score double digits?
No. Really? Not unless they quit at the end. I mean, they get a garbage touchdown at the end.
I do. I think they'll be in double.
I don't think they're going to score too much. I think this is going to be a bludgeon.
The showing Amendola's overrule on that catch, that was a terrible that was a catch. That was ridiculous.
I would agree with you, Fred.
His hand under the ball.
I would agree with you, Fred, but not in this league. I would agree with you. They need to change the rules. We have a million things to get to.
Oh, yeah. The whole Des Bryant thing.
The whole 10-year-old thing that Andy's analogy, you know, when a 10-year-old walks by the TV and says, well, why isn't that a catch? And you don't have an explanation for him? There's something wrong with the rules.
Because he did not make three steps and then go to the ground, retaining possession of the football.
We'll
get to that later, that whole Des Bryant thing.
And then you get Mike Carey to come in and completely make up rules that don't exist.
He's terrible.
This is a guy who refereed a Super Bowl game.
All right, so the Patriots are in the AFC Championship. They're playing the Colts.
Woo!
They're favored by 7.
But do you expect this game to be like the last time they played the Colts?
Yes. No. In terms of the result, yes. In
you
terms
do.
Of the 45 runs for 200 yards, probably
no.
not.
Oh, no, probably. Yeah.
But in terms of the results,
I'm
with
Andy. Gray will be active.
You know, I agree with Paul. You know, there's no way most NFL teams allow you to do that kind of thing twice in a row in a season.
Right.
You know, so they're going to be, you know, dead set to, you know, stop the run. But does that open up things for the pass?
Well,
remember, in that first game this year, Brady did not look good in that first half. He looked terrible.
They cannot
in the first
be dead
half.
Set to stop the run or they'll get killed.
Right.
The passing offense is too good to say we're dead set. We're taking the damn run away. Okay,
I expect them to
that.
Run the ball better this week.
If I were the Colts, I'd be hoping and praying that the Patriots come in with the same game plan, that they want to just run it down our throats and just feel like, that was a fluke that we allowed so much rushing yards. We'll do what we did against Denver. We'll give them some rushing. I mean, C.J. Anderson had a solid day. We'll give them some rushing yards. They're not going to beat us by just running the way they did the first time.
Right.
That's what I would do if I were the Colts. But if you're right and they end up doing something different to stop the run.
Then Paul's prediction might be true.
Then forget it. It's going to be an absolute blowout. Because if they start throwing the ball with Gronk, and they'll have no answers.
The Colts running game looks completely different than it did back then. Now you got this guy Heron.
Mm-hmm.
Is he better than what they had back when we played him the first time?
No. Bradshaw's a better player.
Yeah. So, okay.
And Will
this is
Will
just are, a, it's not a very no good team. This is no, the team that people described last week.
It's the
this
exact
not
opposite
a very good team.
Of the matchup. You know, they don't have a defensive front that can get after Tom Brady. They don't have a defensive front that's going to challenge your offensive line. They don't have a coach who's proven, been there, done that, can do it.
Yeah.
You're questioning whether he's a good coach at all.
Well, I don't think he's that smart.
Okay, well, that's bad. To have a coach who's not smart in the AFC title game coming to Bill Belichick in Foxborough, not good.
I gave him an IQ test, and he didn't do well on it.
There's certain coaches in this league that
– Bill.
I noticed this, that when there's a transitional period in the game, like a turnover or a lot of movement going on the sidelines, certain coaches have that, like, deer in the headlines. They're looking around real quick or they're moving in. You know, the coordinators are really taking care of business. They're not doing anything. Pagano's one of those guys. Believe it or not, Pete Carroll's one of those guys. You know, great motivator.
You don't think Pete is smart?
Okay, let's go the other way.
I don't think he's a quick thinker.
Who's not one of those
you
guys?
You know, I think when they sit down, they know the X's and O's as good as anyone. But heat of the moment, thinking real quick, there's certain coaches I don't –
well,
who
are
don't
not,
impress me
but
on
but
the
who
sideline.
Are not those guys? I know Bill. You're going to say Bill.
Of course he is.
Who else?
Anybody else?
Give me the ones that aren't those guys.
McCarthy's, I think, a quick thinker, always thinking a couple plays ahead.
All right.
Harbaugh?
Offensively.
Harbaugh, I put in that category. You know, thinking a couple, you know, always ready with the next move and not, you know, not, there's never any frantic movement going on the sideline
except
by
when the
coach.
Patriots put, you know, 4 offensive linemen out on the field.
When was he frantic? Oh, you mean Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bill gets that way too when he thinks he's being screwed. Yeah. I've seen him run out in the field.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Palms
right.
to the sky, pumping up and down.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, in the general flow of the game, decisions being made. There's certain coaches that have that, like, look around about them, and meanwhile the other coaches are taking care of the business.
And the business. Pagano is one of
they're
those.
I think Pagano's one of those guys.
That's flustered.
Yeah.
I don't think Pagano's a great coach. I don't know if I agree with your reasons for not thinking he's a great coach, but I haven't really seen a guy that has been. I think he's a motivator. I think the players like playing for him. I think there's a little Rex Ryan there. I think he's sort of a guy that the players really like, and they play really hard for him. But I don't think he's a great coach. Do you, Andy? I'm just curious.
I can't really judge yet.
I think
he's a good coach. Greatness.
No, I don't think he's terrible.
Greatness comes when you get in these battles, and your quarterback is now established, and you're kind of going head to head with a good team.
And to the point he made about Carroll being one of those guys, if you're one of those guys, how do you sustain the success for as long as Pete did? I mean, he did it in college. He comes to the NFL and he wins the Super Bowl within a few years.
No, I think
if you're one of those guys, how do you sustain
that success? No, I think he's a good coach overall. I think, like I said, X's and O's, motivating his players, getting the most out of his players, you know, working with his coaches to come up with game plan. I'm just talking about in that heat of the moment. I don't think he's a quick thinker. And Pagano's another one. Just look at them when things start to get frantic. Look at the look on their face on the sideline. I'm telling you,
right.
they're scrambled eggs.
But what about? I mean, some guys who are the exact opposite, Caldwell or Garrett, who are never scrambled eggs
and always
that's kind of how I'm thinking of the whole like reading like what a guy's coaching ability is
right.
based on that.
I just think they're. I mean,
Jim Caldwell is the polar opposite of what you're describing, and I think he's maybe one of the three worst coaches in all of football.
And Jim Harbaugh is one of the most scrambled eggs of any on the sideline. And
he's
going to say he's not
best,
a good coach?
He was. Yeah.
So I just – there's all different personalities. Yeah. There's all different styles.
It's different like being fiery and all that stuff. I'm talking about the deer in the headlight look.
Well, I think Caldwell has that, definitely. But in a different way. Like he doesn't seem to react to things.
Right.
He just kind of looks
still
like
trying to figure out that tricky fourth down thing.
He's
how come the Ravens were able to go for it on fourth down?
Right. So anyway,
beep.
You know, I
beep
flatline.
I you know, coaching edge, Patriots.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
To sum it up.
Yeah.
Yes. One of many edges they have in the matchups.
When was the last time we didn't say yes, Fred?
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 855-PASS-500. So should we just jump right into it?
Yeah.
Emails,
phone
calls.
Let's go where people want to go.
I think people, and we've gotten a ton of tweets and stuff about, you know, wanting to, you know, have the show start right away and couldn't wait till noon on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Let them have it.
Let's turn the show over to the peeps.
Let them have the floor.
Okay.
Turn it over to the peeps.
You guys decide. Phone calls or emails first?
Phone emails.
What?
We're an email-driven show.
All right, I'll do a phone call and then I'll do an email. Ready? Justin's first from Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Justin. Justin.
Like I said, emails first.
Hey,
you there, Justin?
I thought this was a really great. You hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I thought this was a really great game, and I have more confidence in the offense now. And I've never been more confident that I'm going to a Super Bowl because, like.
07?
The Colts, we beat them earlier. We blew them out earlier, and we're going to blow them out again. That's the way I feel. There's nothing that's changed my opinion on that. But thank you, guys. Peace out.
Peace out.
Okay, Justin in Virginia.
Yeah, the only, you know, I said this on TV. There's two ways the Patriots don't win this game, in my opinion. And that the first one is the Patriots don't win the game. They lose it. They, you know, turnovers, big plays, Browner's getting penalties.
It's a good Indianism right there.
And the other is Luck just says, you know everything that everybody says about me. One of these days, he's going to be the best quarterback in football. The day is today, and I'm the best damn player on the field. And he just goes off and, you know, throws five touchdowns and is hitting T.Y. Hilton in stride and going through his reads faster than you wouldn't believe. Those are the only two ways I think it happens.
Steve writes in. He says, it's short for Steven. I'm a Pats fan from the U.K. Just wanted to tell you guys what a great show you put on, and ask you a question. I love the show and follow your Twitter feeds. This is my first full season of listening. You guys have awesome chemistry on the air, and sometimes I literally burst out laughing in the street listening to the show on my phone, especially an Andy Hart rant. The man is comedy gold. On to football. I'm not as confident about playing the Colts as I was Saturday pre-Baltimore because, one, our lack of pass rush, and two, the Colts defense had some success daring Denver to throw it deep, and I know that hasn't been our strong point this season either, unless Edelman is throwing it. Though I must stress that I'm an eternal optimist, and I still think we will win. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Keep up the good work, and shout out to the UK Patriots.
You know what's funny? You asked the bad, you know, what one bad thing or whatever, and you two said defense, and I said offensive line. And certainly the defense is far more of a question mark today than it was going into that game Saturday, front and back end.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I think they're good. I think they're good enough. I think they have a good performance in them.
Certainly better than that.
I had a weakness coming in that I have confirmed is a weakness. This offensive line is not very good, and they lost their center. And we should probably touch on that. Brian Stork left with a knee injury. No one's heard anything. I don't think it's good. I think there's a more than 50% chance, based on what I saw from him, that he's not playing this week. So you have a bad offensive line that's getting badder. And that's scary. That's scary to me. Yeah, you know what? I do it for effect. It's a shtick. And that's why I'm so fearful. And I know the Colts aren't necessarily built to take advantage of it, but there are actual football players on the other side. And if Ryan Wendell and Josh Klein, you know, I joked that Bill decided four offensive linemen was better than Klein playing. I mean, how much did we talk last week? People said, the offensive line's a problem, but it's even more of a problem if they have to go to a backup. Well, now they have a backup who's also known as a starter.
And I'll give you, and Fred, I know you were kind of mocking me because I'm as confident in this game, and you don't. Maybe that makes you feel uncomfortable if I'm that confident, but I'll give you the devil's advocate side to piggyback on Andy of what could be a problem. Last week, you were facing a really strong front seven and a terrible, terrible secondary. I mean, there was a bunch of guys that aren't NFL players playing in the secondary. And they played way off coverage, so that fell right in line with what the Patriots wanted to do.
Get rid of the ball.
I saw
quick.
A stat where Tom Brady completed 16 passes that he threw in less than 2 seconds. So it wasn't because the offensive line held up, to Andy's point. The offensive line is a concern. It was because Brady was quick enough and was afforded the luxury of throwing the ball to wide-open guys really close to the line of scrimmage. Well, the flip side of that is you're not necessarily worried as much about the front seven for the Colts, right? Mm-hmm. So that means you don't have to necessarily get the ball out as quickly as you would against the Ravens. Conversely, based on what I saw against Denver, the Colts don't have a fear of crowding the line of scrimmage and making you beat them in different ways. So now that offensive line, that pass protection that really didn't turn out to be a huge problem on Saturday, they only sacked Brady twice, even though they hit him probably a dozen times.
I was going to say, tell his body that.
Against the Colts, they might not be as good rushing the passer as Baltimore, but they might get there just as often, if not more often, because it's going to take you longer to find a target.
Right.
So, Vontae Davis and Greg Toler, and Vontae Davis is a pretty good cornerback. Toler, I think, is average, but, you know, for them, the way they play really aggressively. Butler is a guy who plays really aggressively. He gets a lot of penalties.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like you're going to have to run the ball somewhat to keep them honest.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're certainly not going to run the ball 13 times the way they did, or 14 times, whatever it was.
They have
it
was 14 to run yards. Better than they did.
14 yards,
Baltimore.
9 carries, something like that.
Yeah. If you take out Brady, they only rushed the ball 7 times in the games. Brady had 6 carries out of the 13.
Zero
like
in the second half.
Yeah. It's going to be impossible for them not to do better on the ground than they did against Baltimore.
And but they're going to want to.
They're going to have to.
Their game plan is going to be totally different, and whether it's going to be dramatic like the first meeting, it'll be closer to balance. There will be an aspect of the running game in this game.
Weather so far, maybe some precipitation, but low 40s.
Yeah, it looks warm. Right now. Looks good.
Yeah.
Peyton
Manning's like, son of a!
You know that wouldn't have happened if Denver was playing in the game.
JD in New York City, just a quick point about Harbaugh's whining. You don't get to complain about the manipulation of a written rule when one of the biggest weapons in your offensive arsenal is a design underthrow on deep balls in order to draw pass interference. I don't see the correlation, but anyway.
Even Fred is mocking
him. Nah, I mean, you know.
That's like saying, like, you know, and there was a home run hit in the baseball game. Like, what are those two things?
Either one of them takes advantage of either the rule or the way the rules are called.
But
so.
it's not like, you know, no one knows what pass interference is. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, there was confusion as to who the eligible receiver was. No one has, you know, any problems with identifying what pass interference is.
John's in North Carolina. Hey, John.
I'm talking about the penalty.
Good.
Up, John. Defensive back.
Yeah, you know, I give you the good and bad when I call. But this game, Belichick won this game, simply. I mean, he did. Belichick, and I'm not talking about by those gadget plays, whatever. He won the game because, you know, they couldn't run. And if you took 25 of the best NFL experts, they would tell you, you got to be able to run in the playoffs. You got to be able to stop the run. He knew they couldn't stop the run. And he knew they couldn't contain the Ravens. And he threw every play in the second half except for when Brady ran it, when the guy was going off the, you know, he got him with 12 men on the defense. That's why he ran the ball once. Other than that, they were just kneel downs. So, you know, all the stats say you throw the ball 50 times, you're going to lose. He just came out in that second half, and he just said, we're going to throw. Well, that's all we're going to do is throw, and that's why they won.
But that was their game plan going in.
I mean, that was their game plan.
I disagree with that.
And
it was the game plan we predicted they would have. He's been very open.
I don't think a lot of people would have run the ball a lot of times in that game.
Beforehand, he was going to throw the ball 50 times, right? I would have thought that they would lose.
That's about what I would have thought they were going to do.
I expect 45 or 50 north of 40. Well north of 40.
I know a lot of people talked about they got to get 150 yards rushing, and I said, you guys are crazy if you think that's going to happen.
Who said that?
Beatle said it.
So you guys weren't saying, well, they got to get a runner.
No.
You know, they got to hit 70.
Don't run into a brick wall is what I was saying.
Everybody else was saying.
You know what I heard the most was this is very similar, and Fred, I think you brought this up last week. This is very similar to Detroit.
Right.
They have a similar kind of defense with a strong front and a secondary that can be taken advantage of, and they didn't run the ball against Detroit either. It was 50-something passes. Right? That's what I heard a lot of.
You know, they got more run production out of that. I mean, they ran one time in the second half other than kneel downs.
They threw the ball 54 times against Detroit in the game that they won going away. If the Patriots won this game going away, they would have racked up a few more running yards at the end.
It was more dramatic. Statistically, it looks dramatic, but it was just their game plan.
It would not have been any different
had they run the ball four times in the second half with LeGarrette Blount.
And that's exactly what they did in the 41-7 game, by the way, last year in the regular season, is they got a lead in the fourth quarter, and then they got the turnovers, and then they just ran the clock out.
And that's where they piled up all their rushing yards.
Here's
where Paul makes fun of me for being a Brady, whatever, rump swab apologist, but of course, they won, so it's all Belichick's schemes. He's the reason they won.
Well, I didn't see
Belichick get hit in the ribs at all. I saw Brady take the bitch-slapping and beating of his life and make some great throws. That throw to LaFell, the little Moss-like,
perfect.
Just drop it in the bat, you know, like our Favre drill we watched him do one day. Yeah. What did Bill do about that? Bleep Bill. Bill had a solid game plan, but Tom Brady won this football game.
See,
That's what Mike Vrabel and those guys used to get pissed at. When we lose, it's the players' fault they can't execute. When we win, it's Bill's schemes. No. It was Tom Brady making plays.
There was nothing wrong with the coaching in this game.
No. I'm not saying there's anything wrong.
I know, but I'm defending you. I'm on your side on this, believe it or not.
Don't yell at me.
Yeah, you don't have to yell. Don't yell at me. I don't want to be curled up in the fetal position in the corner. The part that bothers me about that mentality is we're talking about a game that came down to a few plays. Mm-hmm. That this game, you know, very easily could have unfolded and they lost.
All those fumbles?
Let the game go exactly the way it did. And instead of throwing a bomb into the end zone from the 36-yard line, they threw three more passes, and the last one resulted in a touchdown, and you lose 38-35. I'll bet you we're sitting here torching Bill. No, let me rephrase that. We'd be torching Josh McDaniels for abandoning the run and putting the defense in bad situations and resorting to trick plays during the course of the game. You can't let the scoreboard completely dictate whether or not you think the game plan was sound, is my point. And to Andy's side of the argument, it was Brady out there making the plays. You can sit there and say all you want. Well, you know, you got to throw the ball and you got to all these. I don't think that a lot of coaches would have run into a brick wall in that game.
No.
Especially not getting hit in the mouth down 14-0. They did run the ball a couple of times early in the game, and all of a sudden you're down 14-0. I can't afford to run it too much more.
This is still a passing team.
Because what did they do on the second drive? What did they do?
Passing lead.
Incomplete pass, run for 2 yards. All of a sudden, you're in that exact spot that you don't want to be in, third and long against that team.
Right.
I can't afford to do that too many more times.
Right.
Yeah, what did Bill do?
I think
he made some nice adjustments in the second half. You know,
in terms of what,
it could have been Josh. I mean, it's Josh too.
He's a genius on defense. The defense didn't look like it was a genius.
I thought they did the same offensively in both halves, and they did the same defensively in both halves.
And
I
I'm not
really
ripping
do.
Bill. I just like people are so well, quick.
I,
to
no,
praise
but I,
Bill.
I think the four linemen ineligible thing that, opened
that,
up
that
three
wrinkle,
plays, three important
right,
completions.
That wrinkle helped absolutely.
But
that wrinkle helped.
And I'm not talking about the trick plays, is what John said.
Right. Yeah. He was eliminating the trick
and those
plays,
trick
and
plays. I don't know where they came from. I know, interesting, as I was doing the news blitz this morning, I saw Field Yates, they circled the Lions as having used a very similar formation.
Cincinnati used it against the Patriots.
Well, that was that spread one.
Right.
The Detroit one is the exact same formation, only with linemen. And they put, because Bill said, you know, we saw it from an NFL team.
Right.
I just,
That might have been Josh.
What made the Patriots Patriots version a little bit different was the ineligible receiver,
right,
as opposed to the formation.
Right.
And I think that's what Harbaugh was talking about in terms of trying to identify. Again, I'm with Andy 100%. I really like John Harbaugh, and I really respect him a lot. I thought the post-game comment was weak.
And the Lions, very weak. According to the Fields thing, was six offensive linemen.
Yeah, but it was the same formation, but they put an actual lineman out where you had Shane Vereen.
In this case, it was four offensive linemen,
right?
Seven eligible guys. But
this was a little bit more confusing because the guy in question is usually eligible. So it's do we cover him?
Right.
Or we don't?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's there's no
more confusing right until Vifovich said 34 is ineligible. Don't cover him.
Don't cover him.
Because you can't add eligible receivers.
Now you're taking your cues from the rest, though? I mean, as a player, you're like, what?
But no, as a player, it's very simple.
I'm kind of with you.
See, I'm not. As a player, it's very simple. As far as anything.
No, but that's why I think it was so ingenious.
But any football I ever played, one of the things and I heard Brewski say this, you have some fallback. If you poop yourself, you know, and I'm not talking about this.
You can always call a timeout.
No, but you also
fall
have
back
a base
into cover
call.
Too.
Like, you know, we go through Gerard Mayo, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, and I poo-poo a little bit their role and the play caller. But when you have those transitions, you're told, listen, if something happens and you don't see what you think you see or you're uncomfortable in any way, the worst thing we can do is get caught in a bad defense. If we just check to whatever the call is for a base defense, you know, you make fun of me, 50 cover 2, whatever the defense is, every kid that's ever played has it. Yes, every kid that's ever played has linebacker has a check. And Brewski said this. He was actually given he was like, it's hand. So it was like hand was the call.
Yeah,
right?
I actually heard Fred Smirlis talking about it a little bit too. Just if you're in man and you're confused, there's a check to get to like your base cover 2.
And generally your base has a zone.
And that's what they should have done if there was confusion. That's what they should have done.
And then the next one is your timeout thing. You can also call a timeout.
Right.
Yeah, so had he gotten beaten on an 80-yard touchdown the first time they did it, I'd say, well, they got him. You know, that's a trick play.
Right.
You got him. But then they kept doing it, and you didn't adjust. You didn't you didn't yell next time. Just base it, whatever.
Right.
It's not that hard.
And I can.
And they
understand.
Were running simple routes down the field, just straight routes, and throw into a guy 12 yards.
And will I really give Belichick a lot of credit? And I don't know if this was intentional, but I think it probably was, knowing him, to use it in the second half, where a timeout is so much more valuable.
Yes.
You can burn a timeout in the first half if you're not if you're not in the right spot. You know. You can burn a timeout there, and it's not the end of the world. You really don't want to burn that timeout in the second half, and they didn't, and it cost them.
TG and NJ asked, can you guys explain what happened with that last possession? Why did we end up with 14 seconds left?
It's the way Belichick wanted it.
Well, yeah, there was. If
Ravens,
you're going to do
Ravens
the kneel route, there was no way to avoid that.
You had to somehow. Yeah. Mix in extra time being taken
right
off the clock.
And McCourty said that when the defense came up before that, they were told be ready because you're going to have to
go
out there
more.
They knew
for at least one more
in
play
in what they were going to do. They were going to have some time left, and Belichick explained it yesterday on the radio that they just didn't want to risk a fumble that close to the goal line, so they decided to take the knee and put it in the hands of Allen with a punt. Meanwhile, Jacoby Jones wasted like 5-6 seconds going out of bounds. He should have just taken a knee, right?
Well, you call fair catch.
No, or call fair catch. I mean. So, but either way,
how to do that.
Either way,
but I know they probably had a block on. So your chances of you returning it are probably
pretty slim.
He was
also trying to make a play.
But you're trying to make a play.
You know. Yeah, I'm not big at
That's
where I'm like, Bill, I don't question my playmakers trying to make plays. Yeah,
and you could have taken a safety. That's another way to do
it. I would have taken the safety.
Yeah.
Absolutely would have.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Now you have the field goal option.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they ain't kicking a 70-yard field goal.
I don't know.
Yeah. I do. Justin They're not Tucker. Kicking a 70-yard field goal.
Paul knows.
I mean, think about how bad the free kick would have had to have been for them to have a legitimate shot for a field goal.
Shankopotamus. Shank you very much.
So you're kicking from the 20. If you kick a 30-yard field, a 30-yard punt on a free kick,
it's midfield.
They're not getting a field goal. 30 yards is all I'm asking you to do.
Yeah.
Right. 20 is probably outside of the range of a field goal. And again, it's not a return that you're worried about, because in order to get the field goal, if you had taken the safety, they would have had to have called for a fair catch and had that one free kick, right? Because otherwise the clock would have run out.
In all likelihood, yes.
If you had taken the safety, you're chopping
Using
off
the time.
Yeah, you're chopping off seconds.
Correct.
Now, I agree with Bill, and I don't know how you guys feel. I would not have run the ball, and I would not have tried to run plays and risked any kind of a turnover.
Yeah, that's I do.
I certainly wouldn't have been having Brady throw.
I agree with that, because especially if you haven't run it all game, and then all of a sudden you try to run it and you fumble.
Well, yeah,
then
that's,
really
that's a good point.
No, I said that yesterday.
Running backs. That's
you have running
point.
Backs who haven't touched. They're literally in those big big things, and Bill's like, get in there. Excuse me?
What? What's that now?
No, you said take the rest of the game off.
I lost feeling in my lower extremities in the third quarter.
Bill, I took my cleats off.
Jimmy the bartender writes in, I'm absolutely jacked for Sunday night's championship game. I have absolutely no doubt the Patriots can manipulate Indy secondary as well as pound the ball with Blunt, Vereen, Bolden, Gray. 40 points is certainly attainable, especially with temperatures expected to rise by Sunday. Brady is coming off one of his best postseason games of his career, and Sunday will be just an extension of his Hall of Fame career. I am 100% emotionally prepared for another Super Bowl appearance.
Same here.
Yeah.
Freddie, I assume you are not prepared to lose this week.
I am not prepared.
You should not be.
I am nowhere near prepared to lose.
No one should be.
I'm not emotionally prepared to lose.
I have to be honest with you.
But I'm not going to go on this show and be predicting 41-7. I will not be doing that.
I won't be doing
that. I was prepared to lose last week.
Oh, I was too.
Going into the game.
I may have texted some people in the first quarter and said we're going to lose.
Oh, well, I'm not going to lie. In the third quarter, I thought things looked pretty bleak. But
you remember to do that.
Going into the game, I thought there was a chance they could lose. I do not have that chance in my mind this week.
Jeff writes in, love the show. Can we talk about the fact that Chandler Jones is having no impact on our defense right now? I personally don't think he has gotten any better from his rookie year. He is obviously a liability in the run game and was manhandled by an undrafted rookie free agent against the Ravens. As always, keep up the good work.
Oh, that wasn't Jonathan Ogden out there? I left that.
Wasn't even Eugene Monroe.
I wish they would just call holding once because he was getting strangled. I'm sorry.
That's a disappointment. The lack of a pass rush, you know, things that are downers or whatever coming out of this game.
Especially when they said that Hurst was going to start again, and you thought, well, there's a potential mismatch there.
They got nothing.
They didn't get anything.
Brett in the Bay Area says he's just switched over to PFW from Gresham. So lock it in. Thank you.
Well done.
Let's go back to the phones. Sleep is for losers. Eric is in New Jersey. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
Good. Up.
I definitely think it was a better game on the tackles. I definitely think Sebastian Vollmer sold it definitely helped, for the most part, eliminate the outside pass rush. But what do you guys think? I definitely don't think Revis has another bad game like that he had there. So what do you feel the best schematically? What do you think, how to keep Luck, try to control Luck? How do you think, what's our best game plan to do that?
Well, I would match up this week. I would have T.Y. Hilton and Revis be a matchup. Reggie Wayne's not a perfect matchup for Browner in terms of the size and the speed, but he's not going to beat him deep. He's a shell of himself type possession guy.
He's a shell of what
now.
He was that night that they played him in November. He had that groin problem. He can't run anymore.
T.Y. Hilton is the only thing that scares me on that team.
We
so
should
I
also
take
mention with
Browner. Browner on the tight ends? I was going to say
we should also Reggie mention Wayne. With Browner that he did leave the game with a right knee injury just like Storck. Only he talked after the game. He didn't seem to be in nearly as bad a shape.
Yeah, so. I would put him on Wayne.
But that's
though.
Something to consider. He does have an injury.
And I would get probably Arrington involved in one of the other guys. But I'll tell you, one guy to sort of keep an eye on is Dante Moncrief, who seems to be a bigger part of their offense with each passing game.
Moncrief,
you know, you get Sidney Moncrief involved. You never know what could happen.
If they lose to Dante Moncrief,
I didn't say they're going to lose to him.
Fred is going to be like,
my God,
I don't even know that guy. He's beating us.
I mean, you know, Kamar Aiken made a big catch the other day. I mean, like, I'm talking about, you know, a play or two. I'm not saying he's going to catch 10 for, you know, 190.
Did Danny Amendola after these past couple games, he worked that contract? What do you guys think?
No. I've heard a lot of people say that he's worth every penny after that. No, he's not. He had a nice game, and that's great. And I'll take it, and I'll give
he
him
a nice
ring
game a few games
for
ago,
his
too.
Services in a couple weeks.
You know what I've heard a lot of?
But
too?
I'll still take his contract for next year.
And I take it totally different than the people that have said it. The point that they're trying to make is this is like J.D. Drew hitting the Grand Slam in 07. And I'm like, yeah, and that didn't make up anything for me with J.D. Drew, and this doesn't do it either.
But thanks, Eric.
He caught a pass that literally every single player in the NFL would have done the same thing on. On the double pass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
most.
But listen.
Most!
I saw that Colts game a couple weeks ago where they dropped like three of those.
Listen, here's what I'll say about Amendola.
I love the first touchdown for him. In his defense. I'll give him the props for that.
When has he been called upon and not done what he's supposed to do? I mean,
this year?
A lot.
Throughout? No, I think that
he's had a lot of like almost catches and couldn't quite corral it. In Miami last year, he had a play right in his hands in the end zone for a game-winning touchdown.
The problem with Amendola is utilization. Now, that could be his fault, too, but it's not like that, you know, he's just not, you know, when he's asked to do something, he can't do it. I think it's the opposite. He delivers when called upon, and maybe, you know, whether it was Brady's lack of confidence in him or, you know, the duplication of the role with Edelman, he just hasn't been used a lot. But now he's being used more, and he's delivering.
I kind of agree with you, Fred.
He's delivering.
When he has been, I think he's had a drop in like every game.
Well, but so what? Oh, but every
Edelman has had drops in games.
Yeah, but Edelman catches 10 passes.
Right.
I mean, that's the difference.
If you drop one of three, it's bad. If you drop one of nine, it's okay.
And if you want to say it's okay that he dropped it, then don't tell me that every time he's been called upon, he's generally made the play.
Where was the drop last game?
I think you should have been able to catch that without the ball hitting the ground.
It didn't. It was a catch.
Okay, the ball did hit the ground.
The ball hit the ground.
Didn't. His hand was underneath it.
Okay, the ball did hit the ground, Fred. Oh. I hate the rule, but the ball did hit the ground.
I actually don't hate the rule because I think that one he used the ground to catch the ball.
Yeah. Was he not diving to catch it?
And he also fumbled on the opening kickoff, the first kick return of the game.
Yeah.
Chris Jones saved them. How would you feel about his game if he lost that fumble?
Listen, I think he delivers. I really do. I think he's a good football player. You know,
as they say, good for you.
He's not a terrible football player.
I don't think he's a stiff.
He's just not a $30 million football player.
I don't think he's a stiff, but to say that every time they've called on him, he's come through, I don't think is accurate.
I think
he's a lot like Edelman was before Edelman became the frontline guy.
Very similar.
You know, they would call on him occasionally.
The Bills game. I thought when he was playing with Tom Brady, it didn't look good. He was double catching stuff. He had a drop. And then I thought he caught the ball better when Garoppolo came in, and I don't know if it's a comfort thing, if he gets nervous because Brady throws to him, anything like that, like we used to talk about Edelman, that he couldn't fill in and take chance, whatever.
Right.
But he's not terrible, but he's also not worth $30 million.
He's not terrible.
Well, there's a good chance.
Paul, you mentioned, you know, he was like Edelman was before Edelman became the frontline player. Edelman became the frontline player when Welker left. If Edelman left, would Amendola have the ability to become a frontline player? I think
yes,
he would.
Yes, I do think that.
Oh, yeah, I think he'd be
But
fine.
That's not what you said. I think if Edelman got hurt and couldn't play the next game, then I would be okay with Amendola taking his spot.
And I think he would deliver.
But you said that he has never not delivered. That's the only part that I'm disagreeing with.
Yeah, I've never found myself saying, you know, boy, they really wanted to use Amendola here, and he just couldn't do it. I don't remember that. I think he's.
But you don't remember like him having opportunities to make plays and not making them?
Well, like getting tackled early
I'm talking
or not
about
breaking
not catching
a tackle
passes.
Or dropping
not
balls.
Not a lot, no.
Okay.
Oh,
well, I think it's
dropping
probably happened.
Passes. I don't remember thinking that's a problem with
Amendola.
I think
that's happened periodically in his limited opportunities over these 2 years with the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't.
And for a guy who doesn't get a lot of opportunities, they're noticeable.
I don't remember thinking, you know, dropping passes is an Amendola problem. It's happened with Edelman this year, but I don't remember that.
Okay. Well, we'll be sure to point him out to you the next time it happens.
Okay, I'm
and then
sure
you'll
you
tell
will.
Us, you'll tell us that it
I'm
didn't
sure
really
you will,
happen.
You know?
I mean, I gave you several examples. You don't
Like everything else, I'm wrong until I'm right. Mark in Fall River. There is one.
Touch that
what does that
later.
Even mean?
No one takes a victory lap like Fred Kirsch. I'll tell you that.
Mark in Fall River, there is one thing we need to keep
the
in mind.
The guy to my right does.
Oh.
Picks contest. Queen's wave.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, Amendola dropping a pass in the end zone for a game-winning touchdown against Miami.
Mark at Fall River, there is one thing we need to keep in mind. If the Patriots can somehow hold on and win two more games, Fred Kirsch will be immortalized. In the irony of all ironies, we will hear a clip of the biggest homer of all time, Fred, wanting to get rid of Tom Brady on every DVD or YouTube clip or whatever virtual reality experience we all will be subject to in the years to come. There are so many reasons I want the Patriots to win, but this one is certainly on the list. He's talking, of course, to Fox's use of out of context. Me saying,
yeah, but I would just go with
fire
it.
Fire Belichick, get rid
right.
of Brady.
All right. Yeah. Just go with it. If it immortalizes you, that's great. As long as they spell your name right.
That is funny.
I'd be rooting to have my name spelled wrong in that case.
P-A-R-I-L-L-O.
Different spelling.
Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Oh, my God. I've been waiting for the show for 48 hours. Man, what a game. Unbelievable, obviously. Brady, that throw to LaFell in the end zone, that's going to be in the Hall of Fame reel. That was, you couldn't have thrown that ball any better. That was an awesome, awesome throw.
And he caught it perfectly, too. Like, he did the Moss thing. He didn't give it away at all. The defender didn't have any way to react because he didn't know the ball was coming.
No, it was perfect. Just absolutely perfect. I must have had about three or four heart attacks during the game. But, you know, coming out of it, you're happy, you're euphoric, you wake up the next morning, what the hell happened to the defense? My God. I mean, I was back in, like, the flashback to 2010 when it was like, well, we can't cover anybody, so you might as well just blitz everybody and hope to get to the quarterback. I mean, that's how I felt. Like, they couldn't do anything. And the biggest beef I have with this whole thing, as far as the pass rush goes, where the hell's Robert Ayers? Like, the guy was
Akeem
Manning and picking off Phillip Rivers during the regular season, and he plays one snap on defense in the playoff game? Like, you can't, like, put him in a sub, put him inside, put him outside, put Chandler goes inside, do something different? I don't get it. I mean, he's a guy that's shown that can make plays, and on a day where you need playmakers, he got the Jonas Gray treatment.
I think some of it was the fact that they wanted to stay heavier up front to face a team that's running the ball successfully, and you're trying to start. You know they're going to run. They're going to be balanced. So I think they had more beef on the defensive line, and they're healthier now. They have Hightower and Collins. They think those are their guys out there. So, I mean, do you want to bring Chandler Jones out? Do you want to bring Dante Hyde? Who's coming out would be my question.
Because you're going to keep five defensive backs out there.
Well, honestly, all kidding aside, like, take Wolfuck out on the third downs that he was in there and put in Ayers inside. Or shift, do what you were doing in the preseason sometimes, and shift Jones inside and put Ayers outside. Get athletes on the field. Like, all due respect to Vince, you know, Vince has passed his time. Like, Vince is...
Okay,
is,
but,
is,
like,
is,
on what plays are you talking about? Because they were 1-for-9 on third down or some sort of thing.
I know.
So,
I couldn't believe that when I read that, Paul. I was blown away. 1-for-9 on third down. I
don't think there were a lot of long yarded situations that screamed, we got to get the big guys off the field and we got to get the little guys out there. Now, I do think that you're going to see more of Ayers on defense this week. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about he's going to play five plays instead of one. I think he might be part of the defensive game plan this week because Andy and I were talking about this walking down. It's a different animal you face him with Luck in terms of containing him in the pocket. You might need another athlete out there.
Correct.
To chase him down. You don't want to have Vince out there. You know, last game, I think, Dominique Easley, this was like the one game, I think, of the whole year that he actually flashed a little bit and made a play or two. I think you might want a faster, more athletic guy like Ayers, you know, in your sub-defense. But Andy hits the nail on the head. You're playing base more in this game than you would against the Colts because – you're worried about them running the ball, and if they put Ayers out there, you're going to run it right at them.
Because of the threat of the run, but they did a terrible job even with their big guys out there. So that was like that was part of my
point. That's one of my criticisms of the game, is the interior defensive line play.
Well, and that's the criticism. It's not, you know, is Ayers suddenly that defense is going to look that much better? They didn't perform as a defense.
Right.
Up front, back end, none of it.
Yeah.
They didn't have a good game as a defense.
It was so funny because that's where I thought, okay, I'm not worried about the defense.
Yeah, right. I wasn't worried about the defense, Fred. I'm right with you. Yeah. I was not worried, and man, I got worried in a hurry.
The first drive,
I've sort of seen them on their heels to start games, but when that second drive was the same as the first, I went, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
My girlfriend, who never watches a game, watched the first drive and goes, she looked at me and goes,
we're supposed to win?
That? She goes, what was that?
Why don't they tackle him?
I know, it's going to be a long day. Leave me alone.
Right.
Get the hell out of here.
The last thing you want to have to do is explain.
Go make me a sandwich.
when you don't have the explanation. Thanks, Christian.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Austin from Toronto writes in, even though I'm just getting over my state of shock after Saturday's game, I've had time to reflect. Let's face it, between our rust and Baltimore's blitzkrieg, things didn't start well for us, but it was our resiliency that got us through. I was saying all along that having a tough first playoff game would serve us well, although that was too close for comfort. But think about all the things Bill can coach up this week. Pass D, run D, run offense. We'll also have to really focus on the mobile quarterback aspect, which will help us if we get through and play Seattle. Can't see how Rodgers can pull it out on one leg. I'm cautiously optimistic about Sunday, but we need to improve in so many areas. Can you guys explain to me how we looked so out of place in the first 10 minutes of the game Saturday? Was it a lack of preparation? We didn't stop them for a play under 7 or 8 yards until they were just about to make it 14-0. That's not going to fly moving forward. Yeah, I mean, it looked like they were not prepared for that mid-level pass.
I don't have an explanation.
Because they were picking up yards in chunks. Yeah. I mean, what was that? The first, was it a 5-play drive, that first drive?
Five and 71.
Yeah, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, you know, I don't have an explanation as to how easy that was early in the game. I don't. What I thought they did a great job of Kubiak, and Andy, this is something that you talked about during the game. They ran the ball a couple times, then they started doing that little boot, and they were getting guys wide open. I think they opened the game with a little boot to Crockett Gilmore. It was an easy completion for Flacco. They got him right in a rhythm right off the go, and they really never changed. I mean, I know that they only scored 10 in the second half as opposed to 21 in the first. You know, yardage-wise, it was about the same in each half. They never really slowed the Ravens down. Flacco made, I would say, 3 or 4 really bad throws in this game. A couple of them he got away with, and 2 of them he didn't. And he overthrew open guys both times on the interceptions, and that was the difference in the game.
Chandler Jones, we were talking about him a couple minutes ago in the pass rush. I also don't really know what he was doing playing the run. He was, like, diving down inside the tackle, and didn't seem to be anybody outside him. It was almost like a run stunt type thing, but based on what was happening behind him, it didn't seem like anyone else was running the same stunt he was running. I found what he was doing very strange.
Okay.
Probably because he was being held, right?
strangled, I think was the word.
Brandon in Maine, still recovering from the game. Wish I could have enjoyed it more, but playing from behind left him so little room for error. I know Brady was not perfect, big mistake before the half, but I think he was Tom terrific again at the end.
Yep.
Yeah, 9 AFC Championship games. In this NFL, that's not supposed to happen. It shows Tom and Bill's brilliance. Question about Ayers. I know he's not a regular if all are healthy, but he played really well when he got the chance. Think he might get more of a shot against the Colts. We just talked about that. And Brandon wishes we could have the NBC crew again. He likes Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, Michaels is a good – yeah. There's nothing
when they go back
guys.
And recap things that happened a drive or two earlier. What's that now?
What? Wait, what? Let's go to –
Who would you rather have, though?
Me.
Them.
Let's go to
Aikman.
Big Al.
Buck.
No. Big Al and Georgia.
No,
hey, Big Al.
Collinsworth and Michaels.
Fellas, jeez, what a weekend, man. Unbelievable. I thought we were going to play the Colts, but I thought it was going to be Saturday. I didn't think it was going to be this weekend coming up. I had the Colts beating the Bengals. I thought the Ravens were going to lose to Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh would go out and beat Denver, and Pittsburgh would play us this weekend coming up, but it kind of got scrambled around. The league's just incredible. I mean, the Ravens, the only reason why they made the playoffs is because San Diego lost to Kansas City the last weekend, and yet they look like they were the toughest out for the pass in the whole field as it looks so far. So it's just amazing. But a couple points real quick, and then I'll hang up and let you talk. As far as Harbaugh crying after the game, I think that's it's one of these deals, if I can borrow from Paul Perillo, one of these deals where the guy doesn't even believe his own crap, okay? I think this is a guy, a coach, is just trying to change the subject. You know, it's not really much different than Belichick last year saying that, you know, Wes Welker made the dirtiest play in the history of the game or something, you know, on Aqib Talib. I think so these guys are pretty good at managing sound bites, and I think they just, his team got beat and he wanted to change the subject. That was all. So I don't really hold against him because I don't think he really meant it. It's just something to, you know, manage the sound bites. And then otherwise, I guess the other big news, Rex Ryan to the Bills. A lot of questioning there about why didn't he go to a team with a better quarterback. I don't think Rex Ryan wants to coach an elite quarterback. I think he's one of these guys, rightly or wrongly, that thinks that he can win just on defense. And it's almost like the quarterback gets in the way of the defense to him. So this is probably the best spot for him, assuming he thinks that, and I think he does. That's it, fellas.
All right, thanks, Big Al. Any comments? None? Okay, let's go.
No, you have a comment.
I wasn't listening.
I like your why
now
is
you're not listening.
Why is Rex Ryan
emails?
Why is Rex Ryan in Buffalo?
Well, my theory is that we have become his white whale, his Moby Dick. He is Captain Ahab, and he is now obsessed with beating the Patriots. And, you know, he'll get a harpoon or two into us once in a while, meaning a win.
But we will drag him down.
But overall, we will drag him down to his ultimate demise.
And we will tell the tale in 500 pages when it would have been much better in 250.
He is Captain Ahab.
Call me certainly, I certainly like that theory a lot more than Rex Ryan doesn't want to win.
Who said that?
Big Al. He doesn't want a quarterback.
Oh, I wasn't listening. I really wasn't listening.
Big Al says Rex Ryan doesn't want an elite quarterback to get in the way. I mean,
that's crazy.
I think that's pretty silly.
Yeah.
Unless he had Tebow inside the five.
The question is, had he waited 48 hours, would he be interested in the Denver job?
That is an interesting question.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Because I think part of the reason he took the Buffalo job is because Buffalo offered him a job and $27 million. He wants to coach. They offered him a lot of money to coach. I'm going to coach.
Yeah, and the bigger question is... that Denver job may not entail Manning anymore.
That's
I don't
true.
Think it's
it
going to.
It also might be that Elway might want to hire his former backup, Gary Kubiak.
Yeah. Kubes.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't matter even at that point. He might not have even wanted
you
to interview.
You think Kubes will change his mind now that the Denver job's open?
I think he might.
He might have.
Because he has steadfastly said he is not interested.
Well, he issued a statement.
Oh, yeah. He wants to stay in Baltimore.
He issued a statement. Money. But, you know, as Fred says, conditions on the ground change.
And they did.
Oh, I didn't know the job was open. Oh.
How many million?
But here's the thing, though. Don't you think he knew the Denver job was opening?
Because John told
given
him.
Given on what
maybe
what Eric just said?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how you doing, Fred?
Good.
Home of the Fighting Rex Ryans.
Yeah.
Everybody talking about that up there?
I'm happy he came here because then now we can really give it to him. Why is he in this division if we have somebody that we very motivated to beat? So
what are people saying? What are people saying up there, Andrew? Are they in favor of this move?
Well, my friend is very excited because he feel like the Bills never had a voice in here where they have a great passion for football and motivating guys. But I beg to differ. I think they need an offensive mind guy. That's my.
I agree with you.
Okay,
I agree with you, Andrew.
I think it was that was a bad move on the Bills' part, but. But honestly, I don't really care for him. But yeah, back to the game though. But I think we didn't do a very good job preparing for Baltimore's attack on us in the passing game and the zone stretch run, even the bootleg. Like they have Gary Kubiak as the offensive coordinator. You know this guy coached over there in Houston. We, not saying that okay, because we beat Houston, we're going to do that to the Ravens, but. You know he has that same system. What was it that they did not, prepare for that they? It's the same guy, same system. Why was guys open in the flat on that, on the bootleg? Like, what is it? What's going on?
Well, they were running the ball well, and guys were getting sucked inside. I mean, they were getting. It wasn't pants down in terms of they didn't prepare for it. I think it was pants down in terms. It started in the middle, like Fred said. They couldn't stop the run, and when you run and then boot off of it, it's going to be more successful than if you're shutting down the run. And that's just how it played out. Now,
I don't want them to take chances on the backside and get after Joe Flacco when he turns his head like that, when he turns around to get ready to pass it. You got to take more chances off the edge. And I feel like they didn't do that. They played it conservative in that situation.
Well, I think they were getting sucked down by the run, the play-action fake, not worried. They weren't. Their first priority was stopping the run because they couldn't stop the run. So, therefore, the boot action is getting them. Now, I also think there was probably a chance they said this that Juszczyk isn't going to beat us.
Right.
Juszczyk.
Sorry, why do I keep calling him Juszczyk?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and one more thing. What's going on with Jonas Gray? Is he hurt?
Well, he's got an ankle.
He does have an ankle, but I don't think
he's healthy.
I mean, I don't know.
They were going to run. Fleming, Jonas Gray, and Steve Maneri, your blockers and your power back.
I mean, he does
out.
Have an ankle. What if it is one of those high ankle sprains? I don't know. We have no idea.
But where did it happen, though, in practice?
No, it happened in the Jets game, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow, yeah. I missed that then. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Happened in the Jets game.
You need to follow us on Twitter, man. We got all that info every time.
Thanks, Andrew.
Now you want followers on Twitter? What, are you just going to block him when he says, Eric, you look good today?
No, Andrew.
What do you mean by I look good today?
Andrew wouldn't do that.
By the way, that's your gray crew neck?
Nope.
It's pretty
navy
blue to me.
Are you freaking blind?
I think you have an issue.
That's navy blue?
It's navy blue.
That's not blue. Navy blue. Navy blue is almost black.
That's
dark blue. Dark, I don't know what you want to call it.
You don't want to call it navy. I mean, it's pretty
dark blue.
I'll tell you what I wouldn't call
it.
Gray.
It looks almost.
I would say
no,
though, actually, the blue shirt.
Like,
the blue shirt you have on is gray.
Plumish, like plum.
Plum
from here. Yeah, plum.
And plum is gray?
Yeah, but no. You said gray.
What are you talking about?
Well, because last time I thought it was the same sweater, and I said, oh, it's plum. And you said, that's gray, you idiot.
No, now we're saying brown. You're blind, you idiot.
I said
now,
brown.
Now I think you have issues.
Yeah. It's the lighting. It's the lighting.
How do you know which team to root for?
I'm a little light.
What color is this fruit I'm holding up, Fred?
Oh, that's a tomato.
What rhymes
with a fruit?
What rhymes with that?
Jack writes in from South Carolina. Did anyone else think our defense was better once Browner went out? No, I don't think.
I got to be honest. I've heard a lot of the different things about the improve. They gave up over 200 yards in each half. They gave up only 10 because Owen Daniels dropped the touchdown pass that would have been an easy touchdown had he, been able to secure a pass that hit him in both hands. I didn't see a lot of difference in the defense from start to finish. I will say that it wasn't quite as easy as it was in the first drive with guys as, you know, effortless moving the ball down the field, but they never stopped Forsett. I think that there were some drops here and there. And Flacco made some bad passes here and there, and that was the difference.
And Paul thinks the receivers got hurt, too.
I do think the two Smiths got hurt, but he did a good job, you know, in retrospect. I wrote about that postgame. In retrospect, I'm not sure that was as big a deal as I made it out to be because he used a lot of different guys. I mean, I don't think he relied on – I think Torrey Smith was not himself, and I think he made an awful play on the game-losing interception. I think that any good receiver in the league makes sure that ball doesn't get intercepted.
Yeah. And well, Logan Ryan screened him.
I think he just hung him out to dry on that.
Did you hear our Daron Harmon interview? He was very good post-game, Fred. On the
you guys were yucking it up with
him. He was very good.
Do you like that, Fred, when we yuck it up, or should we get more serious?
No, I like it when he's relaxed. And
just you can't get serious in those interviews because they're not going to say anything serious.
Right. Eric, so I asked him if when the ball was, you know, the interception that he caught.
Yeah.
I said, when the ball was in the way, like in the air, and you said, you know, you were reading them, you know, do you just sit there and say, hurry up, or do you poop yourself and say, hurry and get the ball? And he just started laughing.
I thought the best part of the interview was the validation that they had used that in training camp, and he was on the receiving end of it getting burned.
That was a great anecdote. Yeah, hey, Dev, they just used the same play they burned me on.
Right. That to me was newsworthy. Nelson from Pennsylvania, first-time emailer. Everyone has spent so much time talking about the double pass, but I feel like Minitron made an even more important play. When he fumbled around, surrounded by three Ravens, I have no idea how he came up with that ball. It didn't bounce back into his hands. He had to roll over to grab it. I didn't think he had a prayer. What are your thoughts? I agree.
It did bounce back.
I have no idea how he got that ball. No idea.
It was actually just on because the rerun of the game is on, and it gets stripped, and he looks down, and the ball bounces, and he reaches back with his hand
and scoops it
toward him, and then he ended up winning the battle at the bottom of the pile.
But he did have to reach backwards. It was unbelievable.
But it did bounce back. That's exactly how he got it back. The first bounce came up, and he scooped it with his back hand. An incredible, whatever you want to call it, I mean, toughness. I mean, I thought Bill looked like he wanted to sounded like he wanted to throw up today when he was asked that question. You know, does it speak to the toughness? Well, it speaks to what we have to be able to hold on to the ball, period, I think was how he ended the quote. He didn't seem all that enthralled with the toughness of his guys that recovered fumbles.
No coach is going to be did you like the way he recovered that fumble after he put it on the ground? I mean,
once in a while, you get some luck. And the fact that they put the ball on the ground three times, two of which they were able to recover incredibly with Ravens all around, and the other one they didn't recover but got overturned on replay. Right. That's good fortune.
Last week they had luck. This week they have to face it.
Sam's in San Francisco. Hey, Sam.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
What's up, Sam?
First time caller, long time listener. When I was in London in 06. Yeah. Thank you guys. What a game. Most exciting one since the 06 game against San Diego. Watching it in a sports cafe in London. But this one, I feel like we earned it, whereas the San Diego one, the Chargers sort of had it over on the plate. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And I agree with
you. We're listening.
That Chargers one, the Chargers kind of gave it away. The Patriots took this one. I think you don't take anything away from what the Patriots did to get this win.
Mm-hmm. And vintage Brady, Bill Belichick, out-coach Harbaugh. So bad. With regard to the defense, I feel like we weren't stopping them in the second half, but at least we made them work. And on every single Ravens scoring drive, they actually have to convert a fourth down. Also on the last drive, which they were in scoring position, on each of those three drives, they had to.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah. That's the they at least made them work for it in the second half, you know.
But the Ravens succeeded, is my point.
I know, but it was a little bit tougher.
It wasn't – yeah, well, that was the point I made. It wasn't as easy as it was on the first drive, but it never really got any better. And I just was curious, the whole coaching thing. Who did you feel had the better team? Who do you think is better, Patriots or the Ravens?
Patriots.
So why does everybody think that Harbaugh was so out-coached?
It's just the trick plays, and especially they
had a couple of trick plays.
But he had no idea.
But the other 70 plays in the game, the other team's coach with lesser talent was able to be in control of the game.
Was it really lesser talent, Paul, or are we underestimating the Ravens?
See, I think that, but I don't think the Patriots fans believe that.
Ah, okay.
And I don't think you believe
that.
I don't think you believe the Ravens.
No, I think you
believe the Patriots have better talent.
You kind of convinced me a little bit that – because 10-6 isn't that much different than 12-4, and you know, if they had a more consistent quarterback, that's the difference in the teams. They'd be right up there with the Patriots. You kind of convinced me there.
Yeah, I don't think I really did. I just think I think that you don't want to be able to not say that the Belichick out-coached Harbaugh.
So now I'm lying. What?
You know what I'm saying, Andy? Well,
all right. Okay.
With me?
I give him credit, and then he calls me a liar.
I'm not calling you a liar.
I don't believe what I'm saying.
Because I think in about 20 minutes you might say that same whole thing, only have a different impression of
okay.
it. I don't think you're lying. I think you're saying something to benefit your point. I don't think it's a lie. Because you know what, Fred? It's not a lie.
If you believe it.
If you believe it.
Right. All right. Thanks, Sam. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a lot more calls, a lot more emails. And Kevin has whipped together some great audio from the game. We'll be right back.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
The shots have rung out here in frigid Foxborough as the sun sets and darkness begins its descent on Gillette Stadium. Flacco pulls away, play fake, and a bootleg to the right. Fires out to the right side. Catch made by Kamari Aiken. And across the 10, Collard at the 5, but he fights into the end zone. And a touchdown for the former Patriot to give Baltimore the early lead.
You know, I thought the guys really hung in there, you know, down by 14 to start the game.
Brady got leveled again in the pocket.
This offensive line, it's time to grow a set. You're the number one seed. I don't know if it's Coach Gooch. It's got to take control on the sideline, but they got to get a set.
Black off the shotgun set, throwing for Smith into the end zone. A bobbling, diving grab and a touchdown for Baltimore.
We're down 14-0. It's amazing.
Behind twice by 14 wasn't necessarily in the plans. Took a lot of good execution to overcome it.
Third and goal to go, right hash mark of the four. Tom drops back, steps up. Brady's going to run. Brady is going to score. Touchdown, Patriots!
And he spikes it. We got life.
Second down and 10 from the 15. Ball on the right hash with trips to the left. Brady, quick throw, left side. And Amendola makes the grab. Left side of a tackle. Amendola to the 5. Diving to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots!
We got one. Here we go.
Can't say enough about Dan. Really works hard, tough, and he's had some big plays for us this year. He had some big ones today.
Tom throws down the middle ball, intercepted by Daryl Smith, makes the catch inside the 45, and he's cut down with a diving tackle by Amendola. Blackwell swings it to the right flat for Forsett, an open row to the end zone. Touchdown, Baltimore.
That could be your ball game right there, folks. That could be it.
Tom stands in. Tom's under pressure, and Tom goes down again. Sacked at the 34, and Darrell Suggs there for the Ravens.
Look at this.
At least some pushing and shoving that breaks out as Brady is shoved to the turf.
You know, I thought the guys really hung in there. Down by 14 in the third quarter. They, you know, just battled back. They hung in there, and, you know, we made a couple, you know, big plays.
Play fake by Tom. In the pocket, steps up. Fires down the middle for Gronkowski. Catch made across the 25. Dragging Melvin inside the 15.
What'd I say? Feed him.
Brady takes the snap, throws for Gronkowski, catches made, touchdown Patriots!
Maybe those guys got to study the rule book and, you know, figure it out. We obviously knew what we were doing.
Amendola along with Gronk, now Edelman motions out to the left. Quick throw for Julian, setting up a screen. He's going to look to throw downfield. Amendola wide open, makes the catch at the 18 and strike!
He's gone! Touchdown Patriots! The roof's off! Momentum is back at the Razor.
Josh called it at the perfect time. We actually got the perfect look. Star blitz right off of it. They bit up, you know, obviously to try to go tackle Jules, and Ganny slipped behind him, and Jules threw a dime.
Brady pointing out to Mike linebacker waiting on the snap. Late clock counting down. Tom has it. Pressure from his right. Throws to the left side for LaFell. Touchdown, Patriots! What a throw from Tom Brady to Brandon LaFell! And New England finally has the lead.
The guy looked like he had his right arm, you know, kind of arm barred, and he caught it with his left, and it was a great play.
From the Patriot 36, a shotgun snap to Flacco, drops back against a four-man rush, throws down the left side, Torrey Smith got behind the defense, the ball's intercepted by Daron Harmon makes the pick,
has just clinched a trip to the AFC Championship.
We're coming back next week, and that's all I know. I don't need sleep. Who needs sleep? Losers need sleep. And you can take your 28 for 42 for 304 scores right back to Inner Harbor with you. We're going to the AFC Championship game, brother.
All right, Kevin, good job summing up the game right there via audio. The call of Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak.
Or
Zolak's got a. I worry about Zolak, though, because he goes more on a roller coaster than I do during the game.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, one minute, the season's over, and the next minute, we don't need sleep.
That might be your ball game right there. That's your
right.
Ball game.
Momentum is back. The roof is on. Right. He's the one that needs the
There is
key
no
for
roof
him.
In Gillette Stadium.
Not me.
There's never been a roof, Scott. Any collapse.
Yeah. But that's good stuff. Gets you pumped up. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. McCabe's in Virginia. Hey, McCabe.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up, bud? First off, I wanted to ask, did y'all see the eye poke by Jennigan near the end of the game? He poked Tom the right eye.
I did not. I actually was just watching. It was in the first half, right? When Tom got up all pissy and was trying to fight.
Okay.
And then they showed him on the sideline, and his eye did look puffy or whatever. But I still haven't actually seen how it happened.
Yeah.
And he didn't look like anything happened in the postgame. Like, his face
yeah,
was
no, I
fine
think it
in the postgame.
Went back down or whatever.
Yeah. Now, for my real question, coming up in this game, you're worried for every game, but how worried should we be for this game coming up?
Not at
Colts?
All.
You should be less worried than you were for this game, but not completely unworried.
Unworried. I'm not sure that's a word, but unworry yourself. No worries at all. Start thinking about your Super Bowl party, what you're expecting against that team.
Let's put
Do
it this
not
way.
Worry.
This isn't really that I think the Colts have that much more, but I think the Colts have a better shot at beating the Patriots this weekend than the Packers do the Seahawks.
No chance.
I think the Seahawks could go up there and win.
You mean the Packers?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I think the Packers could go.
Not if Rodgers is hurt.
That's going to hurt them.
He gets significantly better than he was last week in terms of being able
that.
To move around, I don't give them a shot. I really don't.
I don't really give them much of a shot either, but I give the Colts zero shot.
Really? Less shot than the Packers?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The Colts.
Thanks,
have-
McCabe.
I think the Colts have a significantly better chance. I mean, the Packers have a significantly better chance to win than the Colts.
Really?
You think the Colts are anywhere near the team that the Packers are?
No, I think the Seahawks are that much better than the Packers.
I don't. I mean,
I think it's a close matchup.
You just said the opposite.
At home.
I'm asking you.
At home.
Yeah, I do.
I don't think the Packers are going to win. I would pick the Seahawks to win. The Packers are a much, much better team and much more equipped to go on the road.
We might as well do picks today.
And win a playoff game than the Colts are.
Well, listen, if the Colts were playing the Seahawks, I'd give them even less chance than the Packers. But I think in those matchups,
Oh, so you just think Seattle's better than the Patriots?
I think Seattle's that much better than the Packers at home.
In the Patriots.
No, it has nothing to do with the Patriots.
Well, you just made the Colts part of it, so that comparison became
You
part
said
of
you
it.
Wouldn't give the Colts a chance to win in Seattle either, but you're giving them a chance to win in New England.
I'd give the Patriots a chance to win in Seattle.
But you're not giving the Colts a chance to win in Seattle, but you're giving them a chance to win in New England.
No. What are you saying?
You're saying the Packers have a better, have less of a chance than the Colts.
Yeah, I think
so. You're giving the
he's playing mental racquetball.
So you're giving the Colts a chance to win in New England.
I still no. That's not what I said. No. I still think the Patriots are going to beat the Colts, but in terms of percentages,
I
think percentages. If I give the Colts a 30% chance of winning, I give the Packers a 10% chance of winning against the Seahawks. That's all I'm saying.
And then you said the Colts would have the same chance that the Packers do.
Against the Seahawks, yes, absolutely.
So that means you think the Seahawks are better than the Patriots
at home? No, it has nothing to do with that.
Am I missing something?
I have no idea what he's saying.
You're making a leap that.
To use your numbers, you said the Packers have a 10% chance to win in Seattle. The Colts have a 30% chance to win in New England. Your numbers, you said the Colts would have the same, if not worse, chance to beat Seattle in Seattle.
Yeah, in Seattle.
So they have a better chance to beat New England in New England than they would Seattle in Seattle.
The Packers?
No, the Colts. That's what you said. Yes, I'm not putting any words in your mouth.
I will say that. Yeah, absolutely.
So you think the Seahawks are better than the Patriots?
I think their home field advantage is that much better.
So you think the Seahawks are better than the Patriots?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that their home field advantage makes that much of a difference. That's all.
And the Patriots doesn't?
And matching up against Andrew Luck, you don't think the Seahawks defense would have a field day with them?
Why? I think the Colts stink, so I don't think they would have. I think
maybe
would,
that's why.
I mean, but you think they have a better chance to beat the Patriots than the Seahawks? You said it.
Yes, I do, because of their defense.
But somehow that doesn't mean that you think the Seahawks are better than the Patriots.
You can't. It's a completely different matchup, Paul. It's all about matchups.
And that's why the Patriots have no chance to lose to the Colts. Because the matchups are all in the Patriots' favor.
Your logic makes us say A equals B, B equals C, and then A equals C. That doesn't carry over in football when you're talking about, you know, the chances of some teams against others.
What are the matchups for the Patriots and the Colts? They're all in the Patriots' favor.
Right.
So I don't understand what your point is.
I think that the Colts are going to play obviously better than they did last time. And anything can happen in the playoffs. We've seen that, you know. So, you know, 30% isn't a high, you know, that means 70% chance of the Patriots winning. That's pretty high odds. You know, that's pretty high odds.
Just as not as good as the odds it would be if
Aaron Rodgers was healthy, I'd have a completely different take on this game.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Colts. Yeah. You said that they have no chance to beat Seattle in Seattle, but they have a 30% chance to beat the Patriots in New England.
That's not much of a chance, Paul.
It's still 30% more than zero.
It's better. That's all I was saying.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear you say it. That's the only reason why I'm sorry, as
well,
I usually am.
If you want to talk about defense, I think Seattle's defense is better than the Patriots. Absolutely. I do. You know?
But not their offense.
Not overall. Not, you know, I right now as a team, I would give the Seahawks an edge right now. The way they're playing, the way Russell Wilson's playing.
I just found it odd that you were seemingly willing to say that Seattle was better. I took that a little bit different.
I think that the Seattle's chances of winning this weekend are better than the Patriots' chances of winning this weekend.
Yeah, I was more focused on the Colts thing than the Packers.
Yeah. I give the Packers no shot at beating Seattle. Not with an injured...
No shot?
With an injured Rodgers, I give them no shot. No shot. You know? If Brady was like that, you know, I know he's not... he doesn't rely on his mobility as much, but with an injured Brady... I wouldn't have much confidence them beating Seattle either, you know.
But you would give the Patriots no shot if Brady were injured?
Maybe a little bit more, but you know.
We're getting to it. We're getting where I wanted to go.
If the game was in Seattle,
yeah,
I would be emotionally prepared to lose.
Luckily, it's in Arizona.
Right. I would be emotionally prepared to lose if Brady was injured. I mean, isn't that reasonable?
Yeah.
I'm not making fun of,
but I would still give the Patriots a chance if Brady's playing.
Yeah,
I don't disagree
like I
with
give
anything
the
you
a
said
because Rodgers is going
to
play.
The Colts have less. The Colts have less of a chance to beat the Patriots than the Packers do of Seattle. That's the only thing I would quibble with. Everything else you said, I'm with.
What percentage wise? What do you think the Packers' chances of beating Seattle this week are?
5%.
5%?
10%. I think it's zero for the Colts. So
no, I said the Packers beating.
I know.
Yeah.
I think that with. I think when Rodgers was healthy, 40%
chance.
When Rodgers was healthy, they went into that stadium and got absolutely bludgeoned. Now Rodgers can't run.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, at least Luck is
healthy. But it's not what you're saying because you're adding in the fact that the Colts would have no chance in Seattle either. But you give them a 30% chance in New England. So that's saying something differently.
I'm saying that if you don't have a healthy quarterback, there's no way in hell you're going to beat Seattle. I don't care.
But again, I agree with you on the Packers. I disagree with you on the Colts. That's all.
If Luck couldn't run, if he was hurt.
What is Luck? Luck's not hurt. Why are you throwing that in there?
But that's part of the equation and why I don't think the Packers have a shot.
Did you ever see anybody distort the point of
how much more clear I can be.
I was astounded that you said that the Colts would have a better shot of winning in New England than Seattle. That caught me. I thought that was interesting. If you don't find it interesting, I apologize for wasting 5 minutes. I was really taken aback by you saying that. I don't feel that. I feel like the Colts have a 0% chance of winning in New England. I think, Andy, you said it at the beginning of the show. Only the Patriots can lose the game on. So did you say something like that? I agree with Andy. I think the Colts are not a very good team. I think, even more importantly, to your matchup point, the matchups grossly favor the Patriots in this game. Everything the Colts do well plays into what the Patriots do well.
I think there's a 0% chance. I can't do that.
I know. You give them a better chance of winning than they would have in Seattle. That's what you said. That really surprised me.
Of winning this weekend, I do. I give them a better.
No, but then you said in Seattle, you would say the same thing about the Colts as you said about the Packers. They'd have no shot. But you give them a shot in New England. So either it's just because you're trying to be like Matt Smith and being fearful that if I say they're going to win definitely, they might not, or you really believe it.
It's that much respect for Seattle's defense and their home field advantage.
That's what surprised me, is that you would give Seattle more respect than New England. That's all. I mean, the Patriots never lose here either, Fred.
But in neither case am I giving the team zero chance.
You gave them a better chance to win in New England than they would have in Seattle.
I think this weekend...
Both of them were very low percentages.
Very low, very
but
low.
You gave them a better chance to win in New England than Seattle.
Right.
I found that interesting.
Andy, I think this ends with that.
I stand by that.
That's what I found interesting, because I don't give Seattle more of a chance to
win.
Now,
if the game was in Green Bay,
I think the Patriots have just as good a home record as anybody.
Yeah, not in the playoffs. You know, I think that Seattle's home field advantage is real. I think their defense is real, and you're going up against a guy with a bum leg, I give them no shot.
You know, Seattle and New England have the top two, right? I think Seattle is still a little bit ahead of New England, but they're the top two in the playoffs. It's 9-2 and something like the percentages. It's like 802 to 798 winning percentage.
He keeps dragging this back to Aaron Rodgers' injury. That's not the part that I found interesting.
But that's
the part I found interesting, is that you don't give the Colts, if they were going to Seattle, a chance. You give the Colts going to New England a 30% chance.
Right.
That's the part that I found interesting. It had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. It's that much respect I have for their home field advantage and defense.
Yeah, well, I have the same respect for the Patriots' home field advantage, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that we ever got to the point where I am more confident in the Patriots right now than that sentence just
said. I don't know. A 30% chance of winning.
Is 30 more than I think they have.
Okay. Well, then you're more confident in the Patriots than I am. I'll give you that. But I also know that, you know, the other team gets
paid,
too.
That never happens.
You know, and...
Cliches are starting to flow from Freddie.
I just can't go...
Any given Sunday,
I can't go into an NFL playoff game against a healthy team and say that they have zero chance of winning. I can't do that.
Yeah, well, I've done it quite often over the last several years in, you know, those divisional round games. The other team had 0% chance to win. And that's how I felt going in.
Well, they didn't have 0% chance to win.
They could beat themselves.
I would put this at whatever, 3%, whatever you have to give because they actually have a pulse and they play and they get paid and it's any given Sunday. Whatever the cliches are worth, that's what the Colts have. 3%, 4%, 2%, that's what the Colts
have. I do agree with Paul, though, Fred. I found it interesting that you think that Seattle has the edge. If they're playing the same opponent, you give the opponent a better chance of winning against New England than against Seattle. I found that interesting.
Well, and
too.
He also clearly thinks the 12th man is huge, massive, because he's going to be picking the Patriots when they play the Seahawks in Arizona.
Let's put it this way. I would have understood
it'll be like an 11.5.
If it was like Dallas was 4-4 at home. So they didn't exhibit the same kind of home field. Well, Seattle, we all know about Seattle's wonderful home field record. The Patriots is the same. So I don't really see that, but going to Seattle, that's a different animal. Going to New England's a different animal.
Going to New England is a different animal because of Tom Brady. Because we are here.
We know that it's not different.
That's the way it's perceived to be that way around
that's
the
wrong.
League. You go to Foxborough and you're going to lose. That's the way
but
people
think
about
it. But we've been to Seattle. We know Seattle is legit.
I know how
we know
loud
New England
it is,
is
but
fraudulent.
I understand how loud it is, but the home field advantage is just as tangible here.
I disagree. Here's where I'm on Fred's side.
Okay, well, to me it is.
Noise and the crowd and the atmosphere, everything is different in Seattle.
It's different. We wish we had that
right.
here.
This is...
We've said that on this show.
But I'm not talking about the atmosphere. It will not
I
be...
am.
I'm just talking about winning the game, Fred.
Yeah.
I don't care about the stupid atmosphere.
Oh, well, then I could play the Colts anywhere, and I know I'm going to beat them. I don't care where it is.
But he doesn't think they would he thinks they'd have a better chance of beating the Patriots than Seattle.
This weekend. I think the Colts
That's
have
all.
A better percentage chance
and Eric
of
just
winning
said the same thing.
A game
he was
than
the
I think the
thing.
Packers do this weekend. Yeah,
again,
yes.
It has nothing to do with the Packers. You keep bringing up an injured Aaron Rodgers like that has anything to do with the point.
We're talking
it
about
doesn't.
The Colts point that
I was,
you made.
I wasn't surprised when you said I don't think the Packers have a chance. I was surprised when you said you thought the Colts had less of a chance to, if they were to play in Seattle than they would this week in
Maybe
New England.
Maybe it's the same chance. I don't know. I haven't really thought about
that.
That
was the only thing
I'm
that surprised
I'm just talking about the two games that are actually reality.
And I agree with you both that it will be louder in Seattle than it will be in Foxborough.
In the two games that are actually being played this weekend, I think the Seahawks have a bigger advantage against the Packers than the Patriots have against the Colts. That's all I'm saying.
I disagree with that.
Okay, that's fine.
And I disagree
you
with that.
You think that the Packers have more of a shot than I do this weekend?
I disagree with that, too, but that's I'm not overly surprised by that.
I'm just envisioning Colts-Packers Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
And we spend like 45 minutes of saying
I'm sorry,
the Packers
has
are better. Less of a no chance.
I mean, I think they're both going in as heavy underdogs, and the Packers have a much better team. So I think the Packers have a better chance to
I do
to win
think the
than,
Packers have a better
than the,
team
than the Colts do.
Than the Colts. I do think the Packers. But with Rodgers gimpy like that, unless he improves health-wise, I just don't see how they can
beat. If he was going to, he would have told us already. There's nothing but talk about his injury.
I don't know how I'm going to play. You know, so he'll come out with one of those carts where he has the wheel under it. He puts his knee on it and wheels himself around.
Like Ty had that.
Ty Lark.
All right. Let's get to the phone.
I apologize to everyone who's on hold waiting.
Chad's in Atlanta. Hey, Chad.
Andy didn't find it interesting. So.
Hey, guys.
You and I couldn't say that it was interesting that he had more faith in Seattle than New England.
What's up, Chad?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I just got out of the hospital.
Oh, what happened?
I'm doing fine. I just got out of the hospital. That's
well, he's not in the hospital anymore.
Yeah, that's an improvement.
Yes.
What happened?
I had two heart attacks Saturday.
I see what you did there. Fred had three.
Oh, okay. One up.
Yep.
Fred, I just got to say, I feel sorry for you, man. You are like in A Few Good Men, and you have Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson bearing down on you all day. I'm just waiting on Paul to ask, did you order the Code Red?
Right.
Yeah. How do
and like Jack Nicholson, his story will change.
How do you guys feel about Chandler Jones? I'm kind of iffy on him right now. And I understand that he's coming off of a hip, but we're just not getting any pressure or knockdowns. We're not even getting to the quarterback. So, I mean, I'm just kind of that's a big concern of mine, to be honest with you. I just wanted to
I'm with
get
you.
Your guys' take on that.
I agree,
Thanks,
Chad. I think they need to get more pressure on whoever the other quarterback is.
We've been saying that all year, though.
I know, but they have at times gotten
they
pressure.
They have, but a lot of it's dictated by the circumstances. You know, they're in the lead and all that stuff. I don't know.
Well, but they were doing things. They were stunting. They were doing creative things
you're right.
to get to the
you're
quarterback,
right.
and they
right.
were getting there at key times in the game.
Yep. Frank writes in, are Paul and Fred the same person? Sometimes it sounds like a skit. And then Stinker in Florida says, Paul, did you not see the Patriots' D against Baltimore? How can you be so confident against anyone? Seattle is dominant at home. The Patriots scrape by. First time ever Fred is right.
Okay, so we're just going off of one game. The Patriots haven't been dominant at home this year?
Well, I mean, do you take anything from the defense's performance?
I was absolutely thrown off by the fact that the Patriots played.
If they play like that.
Absolutely. If they can't play any better than that defensively, they'll give up a lot of points. I don't expect that to happen again. But the Patriots scrape by at home. Who was number one in point differential in the NFL this year, Andy?
Patriots.
That's scraping by?
I love it when Paul defends the Patriots.
Well, but that's...
That's because you hate the Patriots, right?
I know you think I'm picking on you. I'm not. What I found interesting was I was more confident than you because of the role reversal.
That's fine.
That's why I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. I think
I'm
it's
not picking on you. Yeah. I find it funny. I almost feel strange when I am more confident than you are.
But to me, it's not about a lack of confidence in the Patriots. It's a lack of confidence in the Packers this weekend. That's what it's all about.
I don't want to talk about this anymore because you completely insist on talking about the Packers that have nothing to do with my point.
That's what my point is.
Your point,
is that,
you said, I would feel the same way about the Colts going to Seattle. They would have no chance. Well, and I said, do you think they have a chance in New England? You said about 30%. So you felt like they would have a less chance in Seattle than they would in New England.
Well, then I missed.
That's the only thing.
My point is.
What did I tell you that he would do?
My point is what I originally said is that the Packers have less chance of winning this weekend than the Patriots. And it's because of my lack of confidence in what the Packers can do with an unhealthy Aaron Rodgers. That's all I'm saying.
It's not all you said.
Oh, but now you don't have confidence in the Patriots?
No, you're trying
to make me say I don't like the Patriots.
No, it's not true.
That's what it's all about.
All right, that's not true. And I'll let Eric explain it to you. Maybe you'll listen to him.
Let's ask the question to you directly. If the Colts were playing the Seahawks this weekend, what chance would you give them of winning?
I'd give them more of a chance than because they have a healthy quarterback.
No.
He has to bring it back to the Packers.
I'm not talking about the Packers
at all. Because he knows how much he's
winning. I'm not talking about the Packers at all. Let's just say the Colts were playing Seattle this weekend.
Right.
Give me a percentage.
I would say the Seahawks will win. I'd be picking the Seahawks.
Okay, but give me a percentage.
I wouldn't be saying there's no chance.
Give me a percentage. Just throw it for the sake of argument.
30%. The same chance they have
of
beating.
Well, then, so you change.
So the same.
It's okay, but that's not what you said before.
The same chance that you're giving here.
Maybe you misunderstood us at the beginning. I'm not being serious. I'm not trying to be a smartass.
No, I know. I think the Patriots are markedly better than the Colts. And on a normal day, I think the Packers are closer to the Seahawks. But this isn't. That's why I'm saying this, Harry.
But what you said had nothing to do with the Packers. You continue to do that.
We're not talking about
the Packers. What you said was the Colts would have the same no chance as the Packers if they went to Seattle. No chance.
Right now, I think
that's what you said.
Okay.
And then you said they would have a 30% chance to win in New England.
Yes.
The part that I found interesting was that you felt they have no chance in Seattle, but a slight chance in New England.
30% chance is pretty low. I never say any team has no chance. I really don't. But all I'm trying to emphasize here is that I really don't like the Packers this weekend because Rodgers is hurt.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And we can disagree about that. I think the Packers are so much better than Indianapolis that they would have a chance
to win
in Seattle.
I agree with that.
The Colts, I don't think, have more than a puncher's chance to win in New England.
I think the Colts have played pretty well this year and against some pretty good teams.
Actually, they've lost to all the good teams they've played.
I know they played well.
I know they didn't, is what I just said.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that was a big narrative last week, and maybe we've sort of changed our tune on the importance of that. But until Sunday,
Paul's going to get it to the point where I hope that the Colts make it a real tough game.
Fred, they played four.
Just to show that they're not a terrible team.
They played four division winners until Sunday.
Fred's rooting for the Colts.
They lost to them all.
I'm not rooting for the Colts.
Right?
Well, so did
they got blistered by all of them.
You could say the same thing for Baltimore. That's what everyone was saying going into that game.
So now all of a sudden, everybody was wrong?
Yes, they were wrong.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think they were?
But you don't. You thought that the Baltimore wasn't that good. So now because they played a close game, they're good now.
They were good. Why, Paul, can't you say, look at a team and say, you know what, I was wrong?
Okay. I'm going to tell you that you say that they played really well against good teams. And I'm going to read you off some scores here. And you tell me if you think this indicates that Indianapolis has played well. And again, I know you probably think that I'm just trying to lay this big jinx on the Patriots by thinking the Colts have no chance. But
that's not what I'm thinking.
You lose 42-20 to New England at home. You lose 51-34 at Pittsburgh. And then you lose 42-7 at Dallas. And 31-24 at Denver. Where is the good games that they played?
31-24. We talked about that.
And a game that was also 31-7 at one point,
We talked about that game, and we said that
they got blown out, and they made some cosmetic surgery at the end of the game to make it look closer than it was.
And
that was the only one of those four games that was even reasonably close.
I'll
give you Denver. The other ones they got blown out of.
Okay.
So they didn't play well against good teams.
I think the Colts are a pretty good team, and I think they're getting better. And I think their defense has played better toward the end of the season.
I think they're a very average team that beats up on a terrible division. The AFC South is a bad division.
Well, you'd say the same thing about the Patriots.
Except for when they play other teams from other divisions, they play well against them. That's why I know the Patriots are a good team. Because when they play other good teams, they win.
Listen, I think if the Patriots don't play a good game, they can
lose. 51-7 in Green Bay the way the Colts would have.
There is a way the Patriots can lose this game. There is no –
Yes, they could turn the ball over four or five times and just play a miserable game, and then you can get beat by anybody. That's the puncher's chance the Colts have. If the game just plays out in terms of the two teams playing, they have no shot. I honestly believe that.
And that's fine.
Every matchup, in my opinion, favors the Patriots. Every significant matchup in this game favors New England.
Not the way New England played last week, though.
I don't think the Patriots played anywhere near as bad as you think they played last
against
week.
Against the run?
Against the run, yes. They didn't play
they
well against the
around.
Run.
Pushed
around. What is the Colts going to do to exploit that?
Well, they've been running better lately. I don't know. I mean, like you said.
What did they do on Sunday running the ball?
Heron played all right.
All right. Yeah. Is exactly right. He didn't run like Justin Forsett.
Look, I think the Colts are better than you think they are. It's simple.
And that's okay, but I think you also think Seattle is better than I think they are. Which is
I don't know
started
how,
this whole thing.
Well, I don't know how good you think Seattle is. Tell me.
I think they're good. I don't think they're any better than New England.
But that's pretty good, right? You think New England's good?
I know, but I don't give the Colts a better chance to beat one of those than the other.
Forget about all of that.
Okay, well, forget about
the point. My point there is how little chance I think the Packers have this weekend. That's it, with our injured Rodgers going to Seattle, playing against Seattle. That's all I'm saying.
And I don't think that you would say that if the Patriots weren't playing the Colts. I think you just don't want to let yourself think that there's no way that they can lose to the Colts.
I believe
You believe there's no way they can lose to the Colts?
Look at the first half of that game we played this season. You think the Patriots dominated that first half?
Yeah, largely.
Oh, come on, Paul.
Even turning the ball over twice, they still had a lead at the half.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think largely they were in control of that game.
They did not play well that first half.
And they still were leading, is my point.
I'm telling you, the Colts gave Brady trouble. Okay. They didn't?
They did, Fred. And they were still winning, is my point. That's the only scenario that they could lose, and they were still winning.
All right, listen, Paul, I hope you're right.
They're so much better than the Colts. It's not even
I hope you're right. I hope they walk in here, and it's not even a game, and I don't have to worry about anything, and my heart doesn't skip a beat, and I don't have to make noises. And I hope the Patriots dominate. Listen, I hope you're right.
Anything could happen. I guess we'll just leave it at that. We won't analyze anything. We'll just say anything could happen.
So now I'm refusing to analyze anything?
No, I mean I'm trying to tell you about all matchups and that doesn't seem to it doesn't register at all. Like you're telling me that they didn't play well. That's exactly the scenario that Andy unfolded is the only way they could lose. And they still were winning.
Yeah.
Even despite all those things that you said, well, if this happens that those things happened in the first half of the Colts game and on the road, by the way, and they were still losing at the half.
What was the score at the half?
14-10.
14-10?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look.
Brady threw two picks.
I think.
And they played like garbage. And they were still
winning. Why did he throw those picks? He was getting pressured.
Because they were playing like garbage.
He was getting pressured. Was he not?
Okay, and who was winning?
Was he getting pressured?
He got pressured on the last pick, yes.
Okay. I mean, I think they did a good job first half. Second half, the Patriots just stuck to the ground game. Brady heated up. I think it was 9-for-9 in the second half, and it was a completely different game. But I just can't go into this game and say, Colts have no chance.
Okay, then don't.
I mean, what if the Patriots get no pressure on Luck?
I don't think they will.
And, the defense.
I don't even think they'll try to use your thing when they play a mobile quarterback and they don't try to get pressure.
Well, it's a controlled rush.
Right, it'll be by design. But I don't think that's a big part of the game, is getting pressure on Luck.
But, I'm just saying, if they do that and Browner is hurt, and there's a lot of ways that this could go bad. Do I think it will? No. Like I said, I give the Colts a 30% chance of winning. That's not a very high chance of winning.
That's fine.
You give them zero, and that's fine. I thought you were a more astute football person,
God. I apologize.
I could be snarky
for
too.
I apologize for being more confident in my team than you are.
Okay.
If you want snark.
I think 30%, 70% chance of winning is pretty confident. But I hold out for those things that could go wrong. The Patriots are not infallible.
I don't think they're infallible. I don't think they need to be.
They have to be to give another team zero chance.
Well, see, I think they were far from infallible in the first game that they played, and they won it 42-20.
And the Colts had a chance.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. 42-20, they had a chance.
Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Now I understand why he thinks they played well against good teams, because he thinks they played well that night.
What's up, Melvin?
Not much, man. Kind of get on that y'all's argument. I'm kind of with Paul on this. And I don't know if it's zero, but, I think that the Colts are one of those teams that they've been on the border. They've been they're a team with potential, and they finally won one of the big games. But whenever I normally see the Colts in a big game, they always get whooped for some reason. It seems like it to me. But for the football aspect of it, with the run defense, I just want to, I kind of looked at it itself once I went back and looked at the game. Was this kind of similar to the Kansas City thing with y'all? Because it seemed like that with this scheme that they had going on, like the defensive tackle to that side was getting pushed back. I noticed they said this on the, during the game that Vince Wilfork, since he wasn't able to get over there and shed his blood, they were cutting him. And with him being cut, that kind of left another, the cutback lane wide open. Do you feel like that was more of a scheme thing, or do you feel like some of the, like maybe having a defensive tackle like an Easley, somebody able to change direction, penetrate those gaps, and, you know, be able to scrape possibly a little bit more would have helped us more? Or I was just really confused on how they were really going about stopping the run, because it just didn't look, it looked like lanes were wide open out there. On the flank, those little sweeps, seemed like Arrington was getting pushed down inside. It was nobody out there at times.
They were getting manhandled. There's no just they got lost the they lost the battle in the trenches. They did.
Yeah, I agree with Fred. They got pushed around. Okay.
You know, it's just. I mean, I saw Vince Wilfork at one point get pushed 6 yards. He ended up making the tackle, but he was six yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Which is weird because a zone blocking type offense, cut blocking. They're not as big and powerful. You kind of think it's more athleticism and kind of walling people. And they just, as I said, I thought Chandler Jones was bad against the run. I thought Vince was bad against the run. I just, their fits, as they like to talk about, just weren't there. They got pushed around. They just had no answer for it.
Yeah.
If it's going down like that, then it's going to be scary because, you know, I could hate to overlook the Colts, but Seattle's going to make them look silly. That was ridiculous. Vince Wilfork, like I said, I saw him 5 and 6 yards down the field. That's bad.
Yeah.
All right, then. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks, Melvin.
But remember, they had been 2+ months looking good.
Yeah, it's a whole different kind of team. It's a team that doesn't throw the ball, too. I mean,
right.
they're going to try to run it in a whole different way. I would be a little bit more concerned with Wilson in terms of his running ability.
It's the combination of the
I don't know if they've seen the zone schemes run the way he runs. I mean, Tannehill is good at it. Wilson's exceptional at it. I'm not sure that they've seen that kind of scheme with a running quarterback that can make the plays that Wilson can. But
I would say the decisions.
Well,
I think he makes.
I'm just talking about just pure running.
Well, but I think his running. Every time I see him run, he made the right read.
Yeah.
I see a lot of other quarterbacks that I feel like they didn't make the right read or it wasn't as clean. Whatever it was, I feel like when he runs,
I see what
you're
saying.
It's just there. Like he made the perfect read, and then by the way, he's also a great athlete who can take advantage of it. But that's what worries me is I think they have trouble at times with the zone read. I think they have trouble at times with athletic quarterbacks. And I think it's funny we're talking about the Super Bowl.
Dave's in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
They got to buy this week. What do you want me to tell you?
What's up, Dave? On to Seattle.
You know, I'm listening to you guys debate, you know, about this, the Colts game. And I really don't think the Colts have a large percentage chance of winning this game either. Okay, but my question to you is, you know, I keep hearing the 12-minute – you know, and in Seattle has the 12th man. All cards on the table. Seattle goes to the Super Bowl. New York's to the Super Bowl in Arizona. Who do you think has the advantage there? Because I think...
We're not talking about Super Bowl.
Dave,
we're not talking about the Super Bowl.
Oh, you don't want to even know?
No,
we're talking about Seahawks-Packers.
Yep, we're not going there. We're sticking to what's going on this weekend. All right. Thanks, Dave. Let's go to Nick Baby Love. What's up, Nick?
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I just had to grab the phone. A little bit under the weather, but...
I hope you're feeling better.
Well, hey, you know what I'm going through. What's important to me is the big picture. And I do appreciate it, you know, going back to July. You guys get me into it because I'm even amazed myself that I'm on Twitter. I don't know what you guys think.
This is the radio now.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what I mean? But, you know, obviously I'm very, very humble. The journey is great. I don't know what to say. I don't like everybody assuming we're going to beat Indianapolis. I mean, anybody can beat anybody.
That's true. But you think the Patriots have the edge, right?
I'll try to tone it down the rest of the week. I think I'm making people nervous.
Nick, who do you like this weekend?
obviously, look at you know, here's my point. This is why I enjoy you guys, and you know, you do great things for people like me that, you know, can be distracted by a football game when there's more important things in life. Historically, how do you think Peyton Manning, with all the enablers that set me off in a rage at ESPN, making excuses for him, what about the historical significance? Tom Brady's 19-8. Peyton Manning's 11-13.
Okay.
Obviously, I want the game very badly. I'm dying of malnutrition here in Florida.
Oh, boy. There's a lot of good restaurants down there. You know, get yourself a Cuban sandwich. They're delicious. You'd be
I like
all
a
set.
Good Cuban.
Thanks, Nick.
The number that
we haven't even really talked about the Peyton Manning thing.
You know that he's going to retire?
Well, we don't know.
He's going to retire.
You think so?
I do.
What if he really is injured and he thinks a season off? Maybe I'll come back strong.
A season off? And Eric?
I mean, not a season, an off season. In an off season.
Well, I've told you this. I do think there's a chance that a thigh injury. He didn't have a torn quad. He had a tear of the quad. He did not have a completely torn quad. I'm sorry. He wouldn't have been standing there just ho-hum having a press conference if he had a torn damn quad off the bone.
Right.
But more importantly, I think there's a chance that a leg injury could affect him more than others because he's using his torso, his legs, his body because the arm isn't there. You're not getting the ball down the field with the arm, and that could have been a major factor in his slippage. But it's not going to get better. His arm isn't getting better. His neck isn't getting better. He's going to have injuries. You know, Brady can get through those. He can't. Time to pack it up. Go away.
And I would probably, without knowing all the details of the injury, real quick, I would say that the leg injury was probably caused by the neck. He's probably throwing the ball in a different way. And as Andy's saying, putting so much more lower body into throws than he ever has, I'd be willing to bet anything that caused the problem in the first place. And as we all said in the St. Louis game, when all of a sudden, after that St. Louis game, they started running the ball predominantly, there's no possible way he's not injured. They don't just become throw the ball all over the place and have him complete 70% of his passes, 39 touchdowns, and then we're going to say no more Peyton Manning, and we're going to run the ball now. Clearly he was hurt, and he's been hurt the last several weeks.
Speaking of injuries, has anyone heard anything about Stork? Thomas in Baltimore saying there's reports that he might have a sprained MCL.
Well, that would be better than what I thought it was.
Where are these reports from?
I don't know.
A sprain is better than what I thought it was, a tear, it looked like.
Now, Andy's the knee injury expert. A sprained MCL, does that rule him out?
Not necessarily. Depends on the grade.
Yeah.
I'm ruling him out just based on what I saw. He looked...
Yeah. I haven't seen any reports.
I haven't either. That's why I was scanning Twitter real quick.
But if that's true, that's at least better news than...
Yeah. Is it good enough news to let him play and play effectively?
I don't think he's going to play this week.
No. Now,
that would be good enough news for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, yes.
Depending on the degree.
Okay.
If he can't play this weekend but can play in Arizona, I'll take that. I'll take my chances with that.
Because you'll need that against...
Oh, yeah.
There's those Seahawks we're just on TV.
We're
not talking about
those,
that, Dave.
Those Seahawks. Apparently, somebody just tweeted me that Aaron Dobson tweeted something out that he since deleted.
What did he tweet?
Need some connects in Phoenix.
Oh. Oh. Well, maybe he's going to watch. You never
know.
Maybe
he's going to work out. He's hurt, right?
Yeah, right.
He's on IR. That's where they have those RPIs or something PIs.
In Arizona. Yeah.
They all work out there in the sand and all that. Get off the man's back.
I just think it's so funny. This, like, you know, I picture this control room down in the Patriots coaching offices that is monitoring every piece of social media in the universe, and this boop, boop, red alert, Dobson, and then like 2 seconds later, it's shut down.
But I think it's funny, it's Dobson.
Yeah.
And I bet you Dennard retweeted it and said, me too. Like, it's those guys. And by the way, I could use some hookups. Anybody in Phoenix that want to hook us up with, lady friends or whatever we might need during the week?
You're a married man.
Oh, yeah.
Bad Kevin writes in, bear with me, holy crap, that was one of the worst, best games I've ever seen. My 8-year-old daughter was watching the game with me and kept saying, bad language, Daddy. I thought it was going to get bad as soon as Amendola fumbled the kickoff in the first quarter. That first quarter had the feeling of the 2012 game for a while. I have to tell you that when Edelman went in motion, I said, man, he's 4 yards behind the offensive line. Did not expect a double pass. That was great. I, unlike some, are not worried about our defense. I feel it was an anomaly. I think we will hold the Colts to under 20 points. Only concern is the offensive line, but we should pound the ball, pound the ball, pound the ball. Andy and Paul, you probably don't remember this, but last year during the AFC Championship game, I called into the pregame social from Fort Myers. Terrible game last year, but a great place to watch it from. Unfortunately, I have to watch this from Illinois, and it will be in the teens, not the 80s, like Fort Myers. So feel sorry for me. Okay?
I agree with him. I think the defensive thing is an aberration.
I do, too.
The offensive line is just hasn't been good for a month and a half, and the bulk of the season, really, now at this point.
Yeah, and it's with Stork out.
And Stork's a question. Yeah. Klein. I don't know how you could feel good about the offensive line. I give Tom Brady credit. He just rolls with those answers about how good they've been all year, consistent. I don't know that I could do that.
Not like Andrew Luck giving the punter credit after the game. Come on.
The pounding that he took the other day to just roll out of bed Monday morning and praise those guys. For what?
Well, it's one of those games where the good news is that
he didn't die.
You know, the Colts front is not as good as Baltimore. The bad news is that, you know, they're probably going to play a little bit more aggressive up front, you know, with the corners and all that. So Brady's not going to be able to get rid of the ball as quickly with open receivers as he had last week. So what, you know, it's
bottom line
match.
Is where does the Colts front rank when compared to the, you know, the Chargers or the Packers or all these other teams that have given them problems? Now, you're not going to get the beating you got this week because that's a really good physical front. They're really good up the middle. They gave them problems up the middle. But if you're uncomfortable, if you're taken out of your game like I think San Diego did and I think Green Bay did at times, that affects you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think the Colts can do it. I don't think the Colts can do enough of it to win the football game. But the offensive line is and will remain the concern from here through the place we're not talking about.
Yep.
Seattle in the Super Bowl.
What's that?
Seattle in the Super Bowl.
We're not talking about that. Delete that tweet.
Fred told Dave in Connecticut he couldn't talk about it. He didn't tell me I couldn't talk about it.
John's here with the playbook. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
How you doing?
Excellent.
How was that? Let me tell you something. I didn't mention this during the show, but since you're here, it reminded me of it. That's the first time being in that press box that I actually felt it moving.
I've never felt that before.
It moved.
It was rocking.
In the second half, especially right after,
Gronkowski touchdown that brought it to 21, and then the double pass that brought it at 28.
Yeah.
It was loud.
Yeah, I remember the old Denver mile-high press box. That thing used to, like,
you
shake.
You know, I have the window open where I am.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I can remember, maybe ever, that I could not hear myself announce the result.
Yeah. So that was
it. That loud.
That, you know, I think, you know, back in the day, maybe that Jacksonville game or the Pittsburgh game was the loudest the old Foxborough Stadium ever was. I think Saturday was the loudest this stadium has ever been.
And at times the quietest.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a stark contrast throughout
the game. Oh, yeah.
There was quiet, there were some boos, and then there was jump around stadium rock.
Absolute jubilation.
You know? Don't forget the press box at Sun Devil Stadium. That's the only one where I actually feared it was going down. That place used to move like it. You know how they tell you it's designed that way so it won't snap? I don't buy it. No one designs it to move that much.
So, so it was everything we thought it was from your vantage point, too.
No
huh?
question.
Yeah.
No question. It was.
Go soft on us now. It's Nitpick Tuesday.
I know it's Nitpick Tuesday, and we're going to find some nits to pick. We always do.
Start with the offensive line.
Yeah, well, that would be a good one. But the fact of the matter is that I think most everyone feels like this is a fait accompli. And I think that's part of the problem that we're going to be dealing with all week long. And I can't disagree with them. Yeah. I can't disagree with him.
And
I really don't see a scenario where Indianapolis will win this game.
I wanted to.
Why don't you yell at him?
We've talked about
it
before.
New England playing poorly.
What percentage?
That's New England losing the game. That's not Indy winning.
Percentage.
But what about those TVs in the locker room that rotate through all the clips that say Patriots can't win, worst case scenario, Dolphins could have put 50 on you? What are those TVs going to say this week when all the clips say, you know, Colts aren't really a test. Pack
Perillo,
your bags. Colts have zero chance.
Dude, that's kind of what I'm wondering.
Dobson need the hookup in Phoenix. Like, what are they going to put on those TVs this
Brady
week?
Brady riding a Colt.
Right. Seriously, what is going on those TVs this week? They're going to have to make
I'm
them
on
up.
A horse.
Percentage of the Colts winning this week.
Percentage of the Colts, I'd say about 15.
15%.
Percentage of the Colts.
So you're
going
saying
to Seattle
there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance. Yeah. If Brady throws, you know, two or three picks, somebody fumbles once or twice, gives them a short field to work with, absolutely there's a chance. But I think short of that, you know, I think you'd best be packing for Zona.
Hypothetically.
Uh-huh.
What would the Colts' chances be this week if they were playing at Seattle?
See, Paul, you.
I want to know.
Wait a second. At Seattle, you're going to draw me into the argument you guys had earlier?
No, I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
His reputation preceded itself.
I'm just curious. At Seattle, Colts, 15% as well?
I would say maybe, yeah.
That's about
15%.
I said I give the Colts, you know, because of Rodgers' injury, I give the Colts a better chance of winning this weekend than the Packers in Seattle.
I thought he was going to throw his pumps.
Colts a better chance than the Packers? Now, Fred, I got to disagree with that.
Because of Rodgers. And Paul said that means I think the Patriots aren't that good.
Okay, once again, 5 minutes overtime.
I got to go. All right, we have TV to do. John, have a good show.
Yes, sir.
You don't even believe your own draft guys are still after that, right?
Fantasy guys? Yeah.
You tell me.
His fantasy's coming up at 4.
Yep, fantasy's at 4. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.